It's Wednesday, December 5th, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is a three-plus hour power-packed edition of InfoWars Nightly News. So I suggest you strap yourselves in, because this is the InfoWar, and you are the resistance.
Tonight, the U.S. military is ready for a direct confrontation with Syria as the USS Eisenhower arrives off the Syrian coast. Meanwhile, militants supported by the Obama administration turn out to be Al-Qaeda terrorists who killed U.S. troops in Iraq and now openly desire to fight the U.S. after they are finished with Assad. Plus, the location of the first ever InfoWars drone mob revealed. That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
We've got a lot of important news that we're going to be covering here in just a moment. Important is an understatement. We've caught Bob Costas in an incredible new faux pas. But first off, coming up tonight, it's over a three-hour transmission. We've got an interview with Lindsey Williams, commercial-free for 50-plus minutes, breaking down his globalist insider connections and what he believes is going to happen in the next 4 years. Then we have Ron Paul, the film. I mean, that's what it is. It's his farewell address, augmented, updated. It's amazing. And then we have part three of an in-depth interview in studio with pharmacist Ben Fuchs and Dr. Joel Wallach. And we also, going to the first break after the news, have Jakari Jackson breaking down the drone mob, 11 a.m. this Saturday, December 8th, Zilker Park, Austin, Texas. Drone obstacle course, drone information, prizes, and more. Bring your video camera, you can win $1,000 for the best video of the drone mob. So basically, go to hashtag drone mob on Twitter or follow the information at twitter.com/realalexjones. So that is all coming up. And who knows, I may pop up there. But, you know, it's time for my reporters to go out, because they're great people. Jakari Jackson, Melissa Melton, David Ortiz, and so many others. John Bound, Darren McBreen. Marcos Morales, Rob Dew does reporting, Aaron Dykes, all of them. It's time for them to go out and lead operations. That's what it's all about. Did I mention David Knight? I mean, there's so many. And so that is this Saturday at 11 a.m. It'll start, but it'll really kick off at about noon there at Zilker Park. And the address of all of that is posted also at the Twitter account at Real Alex Jones. And again, Jakari will show you on a map coming up here in just one moment. And I think we should record an ad, now that I think about it, to run on a local FM affiliate. We just got 2 days, really, to promote it. But if you're in an RC club, whatever, it's totally legal and lawful, below 400 feet, come out, Zilker Park. It's going to be right up against the river, that part of Zilker Park. So beautiful. I'm already down there every Saturday. It's like, I just my children are, hey, you got to spend at least Saturday with us, Dad. You work every Saturday. You work 7 days a week. Will you please just... But then I'm like, oh, sure, I'll be there, but... I'm going to bring my kids. We'll see what's going to happen. But maybe I'll be there, but in disguise. Perhaps I'll disguise myself as a TSA agent, stuff a few pillows in my shirt. So I can be a pot-bellied control freak. All right, let's get serious here and get into the news. First off, in the news tonight, I played this on the radio today. It's up at InfoWars.com. It's in Paul Watson's new article. Bob Costas went on NBC to respond last night and said, hey, I'm doubling down. Nobody should be able to own a gun, a handgun. And men 20 to 30 should not be able to own guns. Men 20 to 30 are bad, and NFL players are gangbanger scum, code for black people. So it's total racism. The first gun laws were against black people after the Civil War. The Ku Klux Klan got anti-gun laws to be only selectively enforced against blacks passed in the South. That's on record. We've written articles about it. But it doesn't stop black sports writers for Fox Sports to come out and say the NRA is the new Ku Klux Klan. We covered that in detail at InfoWars.com. But here is the article. Bob Costas, young men can't own guns without something bad happening. And he went on to say these NFL players especially, they're just bad people. NBC Sports broadcaster claims there are no examples of athletes using guns to neutralize dangerous situations, Paul Watson, Alex Jones article, we've got dozens of examples of rich $10 million a year football players, black, white, Hispanic, you name it, literally being attacked, being home invaded, and defending themselves with guns. Just example after example after example, all right there in the article. Very important that everybody send this to at Bob Costas and to NBC and say, look, don't just sit up there thinking your audience is dumb. Admit that guns frustrate crimes more than 14 times for every crime committed with them. 14 times for every crime, this is the FBI's own numbers, that's a conservative year, sometimes it's over 20 times, people stop crime with guns. I mean, look at the crime maps, Chicago, New York, other areas that are restrictive of guns, higher crime rates. I mean, it's very, very simple, and it's time for you to go look at all that right there. And that's just NFL players. I mean, you go through professional athletes, it absolutely will blow you away. All right, let's shift gears now to something that I have been covering for a long, long time that just really frustrates me. Al-Qaeda, through Saudi Arabian intelligence, controlled by British intelligence, the film Lawrence of Arabia is all about that, created the Wahhabist Al-Qaeda group. Not the entire Sunni, majority Muslim, 80% of Muslims are Sunni, 18% are Shiite, another 2% are other Alawite and other minority groups. 80% roughly of all Muslims, 1.5 billion conservatively worldwide, so that's over a billion people, are Sunnis. But a minority, the group British intelligence put in to kind of keep the Middle East backwards and uncivilized, talk about a coup d'etat against humanity, are these Wahhabists out of Saudi Arabia who run major black op operations, disinfo operations against us. We've tracked it back to Saudi Arabia because I'm telling the big story here. The Saudi Arabians are under this tyranny. I mean, we've had videos on YouTube censored within minutes criticizing the Saudi royal family. I mean, I've never seen so much heat come down on us, but when we cover these people. And, hey, you're tough guys. You were the big cowboys of what is Saudi Arabia today. You were the tough, you know, kind of Pancho Villa out in the desert, kicking everybody's butt. I'm not saying you're garbage, but I mean, you are British intelligence operatives. It's on record. And you did create Al-Qaeda to attack the Russians in 1979 through 1989. And you did use Al-Qaeda against the Serbs to attack them so they would respond, so NATO could come and bomb all of Serbia and take it over. And you have been used on 9/11. And you have been used with the underwear bomber. That was a setup. And you have been used now in Libya and Syria to just engage in bedlam. And Al-Qaeda is the sword of the New World Order. And here's a document cam shot of this. The U.S. aircraft carrier arrives off Syrian coast. The whole report I've got here goes over all of this, that the fact that 70 fighter bombers and at least 70 or 17 warships, including the three Iowa Gemma amphibious craft and guided missile cruisers to invade Syria, have shown up and arrived. And who are they planning to back up? Well, here is the PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com story right here. We can document cam that. Syrian rebels, when we finish with Assad, that's the leader of Syria, we will fight U.S. And then links to McClatchy newspapers, Israeli newspapers, all linked, where they admit that Al-Qaeda is the main force and is forcing Syrian families. They go into a house, they tell a dad, we're going to kill your five or six kids, we're going to kill your wife, this is on the news, unless you go suicide bomb a government building. And the dad goes and does it. I'd probably do it. And you know, if they had my guns to my kids' heads, I probably actually wouldn't. My God, I'm dedicated to liberty. But the point is, I'd think about it. And then they put it on the news and say, isn't it patriotic? You know, New York Times, they're forcing people to blow themselves up or kill their families. Torture is good. And so our government, our criminal banker government, is running Al-Qaeda to take over Libya, now Syria, and has aircraft carrier and three amphibious landing ships and missile cruisers. And there's Russian Spetsnaz, backing up the Assad regime, who wasn't attacking anybody. So we're in a proxy war against Russia because bankers have kidnapped our country. I mean, this is so devastating. And it's in McClatchy. A shocking report by McClatchy Newspapers, David Enders, I want him on. I want him on immediately. Reveals that the militants now on the front lines of the rebel uprising in Syria, we've been reporting this for over a year, supported by the Obama administration and other Western powers, are Al-Qaeda terrorists who killed U.S. troops in Iraq and are openly espouse their desire to fight the U.S. after they topple Bashar al-Assad. And back to document cam. These guys, and we've got dozens of reports. I mean, it's like five reports a week. These guys out of Saudi Arabia, who they brought into Libya next to Egypt, are now going up here just north of Israel and Lebanon. They are now going into Syria, which is to get ready to go into Iran over here. They are openly with signs on the BBC saying, we're done with Libya, we're going to Syria. They do this, 50,000 at least. They've been given, and here's the key, not 1,000, not 2,000, not 3,000, not 4,000, not 5,000, not 6,000, not 7,000, not 8,000, not 9,000, not 10,000, not 11,000, 20,000 surface-to-air, heat-seeking, and radar-guided SAM missiles. And they are now saying that when this is in the news, this is L.A. Times, McClatchy, you name it. Our government gave it to them, our banker-run government. You understand how big this is. They are saying that they are going, let me repeat this again, to take over Libya. They did that. Next, we're going to Syria. Now they say we're going to Iran, which is Shiite, the Muslim minority. They're going to go to Iran, and when they're done, they're going to USA. And the feds, which are Federal Reserve bankers, they are absolutely going to arm them to come to America, attack us, and then they're going to take all our liberties in the name of fighting Al-Qaeda that they run. The bankers run Al-Qaeda to take over Libya, to take over Syria, to take over Iran, to take over Iraq previously, and now Al-Qaeda, run by British intelligence for 100 years, is going to attack America and shoot down aircraft with heat-seeking and radar-guided missiles. They stand 2 miles from, I'm like 3 miles from the airport. I could, these guys could sit there and just wait till aircraft pull off, take off, blow them up. When they're coming in, blow them up. And they will do it. And the media thinks you're so dumb. They are going to do all this until you give your rights up because of Al-Qaeda. And it may not even be Al-Qaeda. It may be other mercenaries doing it. I mean, this is how you bring a country down. If you're bankers, you've got terrorists, extremists, whoever. You use them to stage stuff to scare everybody to take over. I mean, is this what the ruling class really wants? I mean, you really want to get this wild in a country with 170 million gun owners? You really want to try to put us in re-education camps, you dumb bastards. I mean, you think we don't know. I'm ready to die. I'm ready for you to come torture me and kill me. I'm peacefully sitting here. I went in a federal building and got in their face yesterday. We're going to air that video tomorrow night. I'm not bragging. I'm just a man. I'm committed, like my ancestors. On the Mayflower in 1776 and 1836, against people trying to take their guns. I mean, it's in my blood. I'm not a slave. I'm not perfect, but I'm not bending over. Quite frankly, I love the challenge. I wasn't born to just be some coward down in the ditch licking your boots. And you're a bunch of bastards. It'd be one thing if our government was staging terror attacks to actually go defeat some enemy that was coming after us to get America motivated. That's evil. I wouldn't do it, but I know that's done. Global foreign banks are staging terror attacks to take our rights so they can enslave us and inject us with cancer viruses. I mean, this is McClatchy News. This is AP. This is Reuters, where our government, the CFR, 3 months ago came out and said, quote, we need Al-Qaeda, we run Al-Qaeda. And am I bad that I'm informed? I want to take my children on trips. But I can't physically get over some fat pedophile grabbing on my wife and children. So they can't fly. And I've tried to fly once, and it created a situation because I couldn't deal with it. I mean, and I'm the bad guy because I don't want to be enslaved, and I don't want our government running Al-Qaeda while saying that I've got to give my rights up because of Al-Qaeda, and my government is using Al-Qaeda to attack a country that didn't attack anybody but isn't controlled by them. I mean, that is just crazy. So get this article out. Syrian rebels, when we finish with Assad, we will fight the U.S. We will fire missiles into your aircraft. And the feds are like, awesome, please, immediately. We don't only have to drug people up and put them on the plane, you know, to blow something up. Please, immediately. Come on over. We're going to get more power. We're going to get control. This is going to be great. And they think you're so dumb, you're not going to know this when it all happens. Continuing. Bureaucrat says it's wrong to advise citizens to arm themselves. And, you know, Steve Turner, president of San Bernardino Police Officers Association, said citizens arming themselves against criminals may lead to acts of vigilantism. Yeah, when somebody's breaking in your house, you're not supposed to protect yourself. Just call the specialist. For the city attorney to come out and make a statement like that is fear-mongering. Oh, really? The areas that have restricted guns have high crime rates at its worst and is unnecessary, especially at a time like this when we all should be working together. You mean while banks are imploding the country and enslaving us? San Bernardino County Attorney had to clarify comments he made about firearms and self-defense to members of the city council who found his remarks inappropriate. You're not supposed to admit that the police can't and won't protect you and have no liability to do, and it's your responsibility. You're supposed to tell these sheep, bend over and get gang raped and get carjacked. God Almighty. Let's continue on to the next report. No drama. Obama wants to raise debt limit without drama or delay, and he says he won't play games. He wants the power of the purse turned over to him. That's his proposal, or he won't sign on to the new debt deal. He wants triple the taxes Republicans want. They want $990 billion on the middle class, giant taxes on all investments, getting rid of all IRS write-offs. So you can pay everything to foreign banks. And that's their place to act like, now we only want to gang rape everybody. And Obama's like, I want to slit the American people's throat and hang their head on a pike for the foreign banks like we've done in Greece. They're like, all right, I guess we'll do it. He's like, I won't take anything else but that. The public's busy sucking their thumbs. They'll probably love it. Because Obama gave him a phone and he's going to do more. Yeah, the foreign banks that run the president. And they ran Romney, too. It's just he was their choice. They want to give you something free. That's why they run everything, because they're so nice. You're right. I've been an extremist, and I admit owning guns is KKK, even though the KKK got the first anti-gun laws passed. You're right. I apologize. Let's move on to the next report here. Report. ATF Review Board recommends firings over Fast and Furious. Four senior managers who oversaw the ill-fated, only because they got caught trying to stage an attack to blame the Second Amendment, gun trafficking probe called Fast and Furious will be fired if recommendations from the disciplinary panel aren't accepted. Oh, they say it was a screw-up. Yeah, it was a screw-up like Hitler attacked Poland in a screw-up. I mean, it is just unbelievable. Continuing, sheriffs, crowd control spy drones suspended after privacy uproar. The Oakland Tribune reports people didn't like drones flying around spying on them, so they protested, so now they've backed off for now. They never want to fight. They want to just wait and roll it out when you're not paying attention. This is the military-industrial complex making us a new battle zone under NORTHCOM. Continuing, finally, doctors say genetically modified wheat a perfect chronic poison. Wheat itself, about a third of people are very allergic to it. Everybody knows about that. Gluten intolerant. And now it's been proven in major studies in Commonwealth Scientific Industrial Research Organization found that it now enters the human DNA, this toxic wheat. And they're saying it doesn't matter that you're going to be forced to eat it. See, all the major staple crops are now only here in the U.S. going to this because we are the guinea pigs. We were the people that didn't want to be slaves. We were the most aggressive. The globalists targeted us because liberty brought incredible wealth. They stole that wealth, the engine of the barbaric American people. Let's admit it. We're pretty much animalistic, but also smart, to then empower their new world order while they mutate and poison all of us at the same time. And that brings us finally to today's quote. Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And that's what Ron Paul talks about coming up after the Lindsey Williams interview. That's also important. He talks about the fact that by moral, they make you think moral is what music or don't dance. That's the devil's trick. Moral means standing up to evil, being involved, being informed, being strong, and loving life and loving justice. And an immoral people will go into bondage. It's well known. It's a fact. Before we go to break, I want to remind you, a perfect Christmas gift. We've sold out of selling these in bulk in groups of 10 up to 100. This man wants your guns, his anti-Second Amendment activities, and our battle plan to enslave us, all documented, 60-plus pages. Ron Paul's entire farewell address with a poster. It's 4 pages. The artistry of Mere One. This is the ultimate Patriot magazine. You can get a gift subscription, 12 issues plus a few of the back issues, because the last 2 issues didn't sell out. In the first issue, 12 of these delivered to your police station, 12 of these delivered to your library, to your college, to your alumni, to your church, whatever it is. Nice little info weapon. Just go sign up for a subscription. Shipping is included, $59.95. Get more than 12 issues delivered to their door. Or I guess they're saying there's still a few left. I was told they were almost sold out. 20 packs, 50 packs, 100 packs. By the time you try to order, they're almost out. Get those. And fight the globalists. People will read this, baby. It is powerful in every sense of the word, InfoWarsShop.com. And if you go to PrisonPlanet.tv, 10 people can log in with the same username and passcode, 10. So you pay for one, create a username and passcode you can share, give it in e-cards to friends and family. We got some of those we're about to put up in the next few days. Or you can make your own, or just send it as an email. Hey, here's your PrisonPlanet.tv membership. Get the daily radio show with video. Get the nightly news show that's 3 hours tonight with the Ron Paul film premiering. All my films, Paul Watson's book, my book, 9+ years up and operating, 17 years of material since I've been on air, 15-day free trial, but 10 memberships for the price of one, $5.95 a month, 59 cents a piece. You cannot beat that. And by the way, ProPure, the best stainless steel gravity-fed filters out there with fluoride filtration, you name it. They're all available 15% off until December 10th while supplies last. We have a hoard of these, but we've got the lowest price anywhere, so they're selling out. I think it will last till December 10th. So time's flying here. You can get the ProPure gravity-fed filters with the promo code WATER15 at InfoWarsStore.com, the lowest price anywhere, so be sure and take advantage of that, the life straw, all of it, because you get great products at low prices and support the transmission. The globalists hate what's happening. You're voting with your dollars. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsShop.com, or call 888, 24 hours a day, 888-253-3139 to order the ProPure, the life straw, any of it, promo code WATER15. Okay, we're going to go to break. And we're going to have a report by Jakari Jackson on the drone mob coming up, the citizen drone mob, we should name it, I think, now. Zilker Park this Saturday with Melissa Melton and others in Austin, Texas, to draw attention to the police state, kind of a drone protest of sorts, but we have our drones, too, and because they're going to try to ban us having them, make no mistake. And then we'll get into the Lindsey Williams and then Ron Paul and then Dr. Wallach and pharmacist Ben Fuchs. All this and more straight ahead on InfoWars Nightly News. And if you're watching this transmission, you are the resistance.
I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, bringing you our Drone Minute because, remember, we're having our drone mob this Saturday, December 8th, right here in Austin, Texas. We have an article for you. Headline, DARPA-sponsored company unveils drone that can fly through doors and windows. And you guys should check out the video there. The military's tech research arm has developed a drone that can fly through doors and windows and relay back high-resolution surveillance video indefinitely without a break-in signal. Now, I'm sure this has good applications for things such as burning buildings, finding survivors there within. But we also have another article here. Headline, government documents prove domestic drones are for spying. And if you take a look at this document, you'll see that police departments in Little Rock, Seattle, Miami, and the Texas Department of Public Safety all admit that they want to use these drones for spy purposes. Join InfoWars this Saturday as we meet at Zilker Park. You can see it right here behind me. This is the area where they have the Austin City Limits. You can see there's Barton Springs Road right down here. And if we can zoom in a little bit, we'll show you the parking lot. We'll actually be meeting. It's right here in this area. And just north of here is where we will be having our drones. We will have the InfoWars flag flying high. So make sure you look for this statement of freedom. So be sure to join us this Saturday at 11 a.m. There will also be a video contest for the best video filmed at the event and posted on YouTube. So make sure you check out InfoWars.com and hashtag Drone Mob for more details. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Recently, the Harvard School of Health looked at more than a dozen scientific studies concerning fluoride and confirmed what countless other scientists have been documenting for decades. Sodium fluoride in the body reduces IQ and increases cancers. You see, the aluminum industry and the fertilizer industries would have to pay to store all the toxic waste they produce. But instead, they get our counties and cities to pay to put the poison in our water. It's not just fluoride we're getting, but lead, mercury, arsenic, the list goes on and on. And a lot of this toxic waste comes from China. Unfortunately, fluoride and its derivatives are only one of hundreds of toxins being added to our drinking water. We're battling the globalists on so many fronts. Health is an area where we can all take control of our lives, and it all starts with that basic building block of water. It is time to purify our family's water. The ProPure filtration system with added fluoride filters is the best system from my research to protect you and your family. InfoWarsStore.com already has the lowest prices on ProPure water filtration. But until December 10th, we are going to offer 15% off the already lowest price. I know what I'm giving my family this Christmas. ProPure. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and get 15% off the already lowest price out there with the code WATER15. WATER15 and you get 15% off at InfoWarsStore.com. We are back. It is InfoWars Nightly News. We're about to have a commercial-free, for the next 45 minutes or so, interview with Pastor Lindsey Williams, author, researcher, and sleuth who has some amazing inside sources on the New World Order and what they have planned for us. Then we're going to go to break, and I'm very excited. We're going to come back and bring you Ron Paul the film, Ron Paul the movie, basically built around his farewell speech in Congress 3 weeks ago. Very powerful, very excited about this. And then I want to add, when the show's over tonight, going out to PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, we're going to go live with this at the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. We're putting it on the main channel. I want you to get it and have it go out to everybody you know. So that is coming up as soon as the transmission is over tonight. Now, I wanted to get Pastor Williams on because you got hour-long show. You got 15 minutes of ads with intros and outros. You probably got like 35 minutes to really get into 10 new big points that his insider gave him. One of the insiders died a few years ago when we're able to release his name, obviously, and he was head of operations at Atlantic Richfield, you know, a high-level position at the highest councils of the New World Order. Not at the highest level of the New World Order, but in and around those councils. The other guy's even bigger, a former CEO of a big three oil company. Pastor Williams, more than 30 years ago, just to reintroduce, most of you know this, was able to be around all these people for 3 years on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. They used him as kind of the liaison out to the different crews, a bunch of oil companies together. That's how they work, carving up different things, getting disputes settled, and they used him as kind of a liaison. That's actually pretty common to pick some upstanding pastor, preacher, local that everybody seems to like to work with the oil companies. And he learned about how energy was controlled. Now, this is more and more admitted today, and a lot of what his Energy Non-Crisis book first broke in the early 80s has now been declassified and been admitted. And so much, he told us about the Arab Spring. He said there'll be uprisings in Bedlam a year and a half before it even started. That I give him. He said gas prices 1 year would go up to $150 a barrel. Everybody laughed at him. They were like 60. It happened. Then he said, well, get ready. They're going to go down to 40. It happened. Went down to 38. So almost everything his elite sources have told him has come true. You can say, well, this didn't exactly happen. But then Lindsey would say, well, that's how you interpret what they say. But even if you're talking to the highest level person in the Bilderberg group, everything they say they want to do, they're not God. They want to be. They think they are. They're not going to get it all done. Things change. Programs change. There's splits in the elite because they're getting down to the end game now where you got global government being set up. Mega banks and 1.5 quadrillion they're trying to get people to sign on to. In fact, we have this article as we go to Lindsey Williams. The head of the Bank of England, one of the most powerful private central banks in the world, owns part of our Federal Reserve, said this is like a new world war. And basically, there's no way to get out of the collapse. And now the Bank of England is being taken over by another globalist from Canada. And now that's back in the news today in the London Guardian, saying a dictatorial power is being given to them. That's happening in Greece, Spain. They tried it in Iceland. They defeated it, the only place to do it. They've done it in third world countries everywhere. They've done it to Ireland. They've done it here. They brag. Banksters declare they've conquered America. But today, if you just type in to the search engine, I had it pulled up in there on the screen. If you just type in Bank of England head, the first article is the London Guardian with the outgoing head saying this is dictatorial, this is a takeover. And there's also Infowars.com with our article where they all admit it. Bankers declare U.S. and Europe conquered. So that's how they get the power, as they control the fiat made-up derivatives, just like Bernie Madoff. But instead of him being low-level 100 billion con artists, these are trillion con artists, so big, and everybody's invested in it, that they can't be brought down or they'll bring us down. Well, they have to go down because they're bringing us down to consolidate control. Now, I'm not going to talk for the next 40 minutes. I'm going to turn to Lindsey Williams. I'm going to give him the floor. And about 20 minutes into it, I'll stop to tell you about a new film, new breakdown he's done of this. But he's going to have the floor right now. Pastor Lindsey Williams joining us via the telephone. Thank you for coming on InfoWars Nightly News. This is commercial free. You've got another interview coming up in about 50 minutes. So I'm going to give you the floor right now for most of that. Lindsey, break down the 10 points. Go for it all. And thank you for joining us.
After the election, I contacted my elite friend. I knew that he would know some things that I didn't know. People were bumfuzzled. They were flabbergasted. They didn't know what to do. They were in disarray. And I asked him the question, what can we expect in the next 4 years? The information he gave me was so startling that the only way I know to describe it is the most startling thing that anyone has heard since the founding of the United States of America. Yes, you heard me correctly. I know that's a big statement, but I was given 10 agendas that the American people will face over the next 4 years. I was so startled that I didn't do a radio show for nearly 3 weeks, and I finally said, okay, it's time to tell the American people the facts, and I'd like to give you those 10 agendas at this point. Some of them were encouraging. Some of them were startling. Here we go. I hope that you'll write them down. You'll watch them happen. First of all, I'd like to make a prediction based on what my elite friend told me that you will find very interesting. The elite are not ready for a financial collapse yet. I hope you caught that. I know nearly all the newsletters, nearly everyone out there in the financial field is saying, oh, going to be a collapse after fiscal cliffs, going to be a collapse. No. The elite do not want a financial collapse yet. Why not? There's a very definite reason why not, and that brings me to the second part of this agenda, and this word is very powerful. They want to force debt creation. I hope you caught the word forced. They're going to force debt creation to the point that every nation in the world, every state in America, every city, every county, every individual homeowner and head of a household, they want them into such massive debt, and they intend to create it by certain methods, which I'll attempt to describe if I can. Now, many of you remember years ago, 30, 40 years ago, the first credit card that was ever out there was American Express. And at the time, I was a pastor in Florida. It was back in the 60s, and I went and got one. MasterCard, Visa, none of these were around. Well, not too many months ago, you heard what happened. All the banks were bailed out, and they came around to American Express, and they said, well, you're too big to fail also. And they said, you've got to become a bank. You cannot be a credit card any longer. And they forced America. Did you catch that word? They forced Bank of America, American Express, they forced them to become a bank. They did the same thing with the banks. You remember that it was QE1, and just prior to that, they had said the entire world is going to collapse. They threatened Congress and said there'll be riots. There's going to be a collapse. You must pass this bill. and Congress passed it, and QE1 came into being, and they bailed out the banks that they wanted to succeed and left the others to fail. It was a forced debt creation. Now, they're doing the same thing with students, college students. Yes, they have convinced you that you no longer can go to college without a government loan. This is a part of the agenda. One of the agendas of the elite for the next 4 years is to get every single college student they can into so much debt that when they graduate from college and can't find a job doing anything but flipping burgers or working in some fast food restaurant or maybe working for Walmart or Target, you will be so in debt that you will gladly listen to them whenever they say, "We have a new world order for you. We have a new currency for you. Just give up your constitution and everything will be fine." Do you understand why they don't want a collapse yet? Because they want to force such debt creation on everyone. Now, right now you're hearing fiscal cliff. Oh, my goodness, it's everywhere. This is a part of debt creation. Are you catching this? They are going to use the fiscal cliff in order to do certain things to the middle class. And that brings me to the third agenda that my elite friend informed me about. If you're a part of the middle class, what you're hearing, tax the rich, tax the rich. Listen, that is such a smokescreen, it's almost unbelievable. Never mind taxing the rich. The rich can protect their funds, whether it be in Liechtenstein or in the Caymans or someplace else. What are they going to do to the middle class of Americans who work 9 to 5, get a paycheck, and everything's turned in on them, and there's no way they can get around it, nothing they can do about it? I have a prediction for you. Based on what I have been told from my elite friend, the middle class, and watch it, you'll see it happen, the middle class is going to be taxed into oblivion. No, I know you're not hearing anything about this. You're going to watch it happen. It'll happen now after this fiscal cliff, and then gradually over the next 4 years, you are going to see every type of tax imaginable. I'm going to mention a few that they very easily could use. They could use a marginal minimum tax. They could use a national sales tax. Obama has already declared that Obamacare, Supreme Court said it, is going to be a tax. There was no way that they could get you to pay a premium. I hope you caught the word. Whenever you get an insurance policy, you pay a premium. Obamacare, they knew that they couldn't get by with that premium idea. So the Supreme Court declared Obamacare a tax. Well, what happened? This set a chain reaction off that you saw it just a few days ago. Walmart, America's largest retail employer, Walmart said, okay, if that's the way you want it, here's what we're going to do. This is a part of the forced debt creation that they're going to put you in. Walmart said, okay, anybody working 30 hours or more, we're going to have to pay for Obamacare. And they said, we can't afford that and still stack them high and sell them cheap at the same time. So as a result, they are saying no one except management personnel at Walmart from now on will work as many as 30 hours. There are going to be 29 hours and less. Now, your fast food restaurants are going to do the same thing. Mark my words, Target and the rest of them will do the same thing. What are they doing? Can you rent an apartment or pay for a house and still operate an automobile at the same time on less than 30 hours per week? No, no way in the world you can do it. Well, what's it going to do? It is going to put you into a debt crunch that is going to be a part of the forced debt creation that the elite have already planned. As my elite friend told me, this is in the agenda. Now, please, those of you who have heard me on Alex Jones Show and InfoWars over the years, you remember I was on Alex Jones Show. It's in the archives. In 2009, Mr. Fromm and I were on the phone together, and he said to me, now this was my 87-year-old elite friend who died about a year and a half ago, and he said to me one day on the phone, he said, "Chaplain, within a few years," he said 2 years at the time, we're up about 3 years now, he said, "you will be so broke you will not be able to do anything about it. And at the time he said that in 2009, I could not understand what the man was talking about. I can readily see it today because when I was given these 10 agendas, I realized that they are going to tax the middle class of America into oblivion. They're only using the ploy of tax or reach, and that's not it. I want to give you a formula. I was just given it the other day. You write this down, and when you figure out this formula on your calculator, I want you to tell me how long your home can survive using this formula for the devaluation of the dollar month after month and the debt creation they plan to put you in. First of all, because of the $40 billion that the Federal Reserve is pulling out of thin air and buying mortgage-backed securities every month, with that 40%, comes an automatic devaluation of the American dollar by approximately 3%, between 3 and 4%. Now, add on top of that new taxes. Mark my words, you're going to see that. Add on that new taxes that are the forced debt creation that will come out of a result of this physical cliff. Then put on top of that the tax for Obamacare, which you're going to begin paying next year. Now, you notice this is a progressive thing over a period of this 4 years of administration. You're not going to have all this happen tomorrow morning. You've got the 3% right now. You have the taxes that you'll hear about in a few weeks as a result of the fiscal cliff, and it'll be desperate. Are we all going to fall? Then you've got Obamacare that's going to kick in the first of 2013. Then you've got food prices that are going to escalate on top of that, just like they've been doing for the past year. Then you've got a 30-hour work week instead of a 50-hour work week. Now, you calculate all of that out on your calculator, and you tell me how long it will be that you can put clothes on the back of the family, food on the dinner table, gas in the gas tank, and still pay the mortgage payment. And when the children are crying and you can't buy enough food to put on the table, and you have a choice between food on the table or paying the mortgage payment, what are you going to do? You're going to take care of the children. So what's going to happen to the mortgage payment? Exactly what the elite have planned already behind closed doors. It is calculated how long it will take before the majority of Americans that already haven't lost their houses will lose their houses, and they want to own, through this new program of the Federal Reserve, which is part of the elite Federal Reserve and not a part of the federal government, and they are the new world order, and how long will it be before they will own every piece of mortgaged real estate in the United States of America? I hope you caught this. It's already planned. They have calculated this out. They gave it to me, and they know how long it's going to be before they'll be able to say, okay, you can't make that payment. So what are you going to do? Well, I'll go to the next agenda of the elite. The debt limit will be suspended so that the United States of America, our government, can spend into oblivion. And it's going to happen. Mark my words, you'll see it as a result of this fiscal cliff thing. Next, the dollar is scheduled. Please now, this is over a period of 4 years. The dollar is scheduled to be phased out. Let me give you an example. You heard it last week. It was on the news. You even heard it right there on Alex Jones' show. Our president went to Phnom Penh in Asia, and he was going over to a summit. There were 15 Asian nations comprising one half of the world's population, and they were forming a regional comprehensive economic partnership. And our president wanted the United States of America to be included. He actually attended the summit, and they basically thumbed their nose at him and told him to go home. Now, I want you to listen to what happened at that summit. This Southeastern Asian Association of Nations included China, India, Japan, South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, 3 billion Asians and 15 Asian nations. This happened just last week, and they said we will no longer use the reserve currency of the world in sale and trade amongst one half of the people of the world. So the American dollar now is going to be floating around out there, unwanted, unused. I'm sure you knew what happened with the BRICS group, which was Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, on April the 5th of 2012, when they said 43% of the world's population, 18% of the world's GDP, and 53% of the world's global financial capital. And they said, we're not going to use the American dollar any longer for sale and trade of products amongst ourselves. Folks, the dollar is dead. The dollar has already died. In 6 to 9 months to a year maximum, these unwanted, unused dollars are coming home. The elite, so I have been told by my elite friend, have already calculated how long it will be before the dollar will be phased out to the point that you will be living in a second-rate nation currency, and it is scheduled over this next 4 years. Now, let me give you three factors that you will never know about if you don't hear it right here on InfoWars today. I was told privately and very... I don't know how to say it. I was just told by my elite friend, he said, Chaplain, there are three factions out there now that you need to know about. He said, number one, I know what they are, the old-time elite. I lived with them for 3 years. He said, number two, we have a president now that's like a bull in a china shop. He said he is totally out of control. He double-crossed the elite. Please, you remember this. The Cross Canada Pipeline, they wanted it. He said no, turned thumbs down on it. There was the Dobbs-Frank bill. He passed it through. The elite didn't want it. Then thirdly, he double-crossed them because they had said, you've got to open up public lands for oil drilling. Because of the chaos in the Middle East, we need to produce from our own American oil fields. And Obama turned his thumbs down on it, flipped his nose at the elite, said, I'm going to do what my Muslim Brotherhood friends want me to do. He bowed before the king of Saudi Arabia when he went over there. And as a result today, you have three factions that are working against each other, and I'll show you what's going to happen. You've got the elite, the old-time elite. You've got an out-of-control president that even they are having trouble with, and I don't know what they might do with him, and I'm not making any predictions either. Then you have a new segment. Please, you must see this. There is a, and this is what they're calling it. They're calling it, I heard the words. He said it right there over the phone to me. He said, Chaplain, we have a renegade elite that is rising up in the world, which they didn't expect. What is that? Like the Phnom Penh meeting of last week, like the BRICS group that met back in April. These nations are saying, we don't want to fool with you elite, the old-fashioned elite anymore. We're going to rise up and through China form our own allies. What's it going to happen? You remember the old Western movies years ago? There would be a saloon. And this whole room filled with people, and all of a sudden fight would start because somebody didn't think the crap table was being handled correctly. And the whole saloon, before you knew it, was in mass chaos, and everybody was fighting. And if you happened to be sitting in the middle of that saloon when it happened, oh, my goodness, you had to fight your way out. There was no other way out. I'm warning you right now. You, the middle class of America, you are caught right now between an elite, an out-of-control president, a renegade elite that they're not quite sure what to do with, but they'll find a way, mark my words, and you as a middle class of America are caught right in the midst of a fist fight, and it is going to be horrifying what you are going to suffer because of what's happening right now amongst the elite out there fighting with these other groups. Mark my words, you must have a mindset change. You must know what to do in light of these things that are taking place. Now, I want to give you the next agenda. Right now, in the United States of America, 38% of every person in this country is receiving some sort of remuneration from some government, either federal or state. It may be Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. It may be some other payment or whatever. Maybe you work for the government or you got a pension from the government. 38% of all the people in America right now receive some sort of payment from the government. I want to give you the figure 4 years from now. They've already calculated. I mean, this is already figured into their agendas. 4 years from now, the elite plan to have 70% of the people of the United States of America receiving some sort of remuneration from the government. I'm going to make a prediction based on what my elite friend just told me as he was giving me these things. There will never be another honest election in the United States of America. Now, I'm not saying that the past one was honest, but you'll never see one that even comes close to being honest from now on, because the elite know that whoever writes that paycheck is also going to get the vote. And from this point on, if they succeed, And by God's grace, they won't succeed. You and I must succeed. Alex Jones must succeed. InfoWars must. But if they succeed and have their way, we will never have another honest election in the United States of America. I want to give you the gold prices. That's right. They've even calculated this in. You say, you mean to tell me that they've calculated gold 4 years from now? Yeah, they calculated it 4 years ago. You ready? In 2008, you remember, this is history. This is not a prediction. In 2008, gold was $800 an ounce. Today, gold is $1,700 an ounce approximately this morning. And in 2016, would you like to know where it's going? They already have it figured. They must take it to $3,000 an ounce. Yes, that's right. I don't sell it, but Alice can tell you where to get it. They've got to take it to $3,000 an ounce, and silver must go up in order to be able to bring in the new world currency. And in order to do it, they are going to back it by gold and silver. Mark my words. Well, I have another one that I must cover. And, Alex, you were asking about this when I was on your show on yesterday. Many of you remember that back in about 2007, 2008, I was on the phone with Mr. Fromm. Yeah, I have no problem mentioning it because we were talking together, and he mentioned a phrase that so startled me, having been a minister of the gospel for 57 years. He said, "Chaplain, devil's Messiah." I was fascinated. I wondered what in the world he was talking about. So I went back and I said, "Okay, Ken, let's back up a little bit. I'd like to know what you're talking about." That was the time that he made the statement to me. He said, "The new world order cannot be brought in until first we have taken the God that made America great out of the classroom, out of the courtroom, out of public offices, out of the government in Washington." And he went on to tell me, and I gave it back in a DVD series back in those days entitled The Elite Speak. I gave you all the facets of what the devil's Messiah was going to be. They have a devil's Messiah agenda for the next 4 years. Pastors, if ever you listen to me, you've got to listen to me now. You heard me say a few moments ago that the reason they don't want to collapse right now is because they want to force debt creation on everybody. This includes your church. Please, as the dollar devaluates, and I have given you the percentages that it will devaluate month after month, you figured on your own calculator. How long will it be before the, and here's the plan, how long will it be before the people in your congregation can no longer give as they're giving right now? Because the dollar has devalued to the point that it will be over the next 4 years, and the plan of the elite is to confiscate your church so that they can tell you what to preach, because they must do away with the God that made America great. And you few pastors that are still left out there, you're still a part of what this really is. You remember back in the days of Jerry Falwell? You remember the moral majority? I'm sorry to have to tell you, pastors, I've been a minister of the gospel all these years, and I have to be honest with you. You are an immoral minority today, and you are on the chopping block. And what you don't know is that they already have an agenda to take over your church, because when those people can't give and you can't make the church payment, they will come in and take your church, just like they are going to take the private homes that the Federal Reserve now is buying $40 billion of mortgage-backed securities every month, and the shopping center that can't make its payment, and the small business that has a small business loan based on a real estate as a collateral. They are going to take your church, and it is part of their agenda. You must, pastors, you must pay off the mortgage on that church, and you must pay it off immediately, or you're going to lose it. And they will dictate to your pastor what you ought to preach, because it'll be a part of the new world order. The other day I was speaking to a pastor along this line privately. I love him. I won't mention his name because I respect him so much. And the first thing he said, "Well, chaplain, that means that the dollar at some point is going to be in trouble and have a collapse." I said, "Pastor, you're exactly right." First thing he said to me, I couldn't believe it. He said, "What about my pension?" He said, "Am I going to lose it?" Well, I've got a prediction for you based on what my elite friend told me just a few days ago. Pastor, if you're 50 years of age and under, you don't have a pension. You'll never get it. With what's happening to the dollar, when the dollar fails, What's going to happen to the pension plans? What's going to happen to the life insurance companies? I'll let you decide it for yourselves. The Devil's Messiah program for the next 4 years, one of the agendas is to confiscate your church, be able to complete the progress of what they began years ago when they started this plan through the 401c3 organizational status and putting you into the condition that they want you in so that you think that the Constitution of the United States of America says there is a separation of church and state. You'll never find that phrase anywhere in the Constitution of the United States of America. They have made you believe it, just like they've caused you to believe in the physical cliff, which likewise is a smokescreen and farce for the purpose of being able to bring on the forced debt creation that they want you on. Well, I have to give you one or two more, and then I think I'll probably have covered these 10. Folks, you're going to see, now mark it down, you'll see this happen over a four-year period, not tomorrow morning, but over a four-year period. You are going to see, and it's part of the agenda, to bring in millions of Muslims into the United States of America as citizens. And the wish of Mr. Obama. Now, this is not the wish of the elite. I've told you many times that the elite are not communist and they're not Muslim. They only use both of those, and when they get through with them, they'll throw them out in the bathwater. But I was told by my elite friend that one of the agendas of this out-of-control president, who they themselves are even concerned about, is to bring millions of Muslims into the United States of America and give them citizenship in the next four. Why do you think he's talking about the people to the south and from Mexico and the Hispanics and those that came in illegally? That's not what the end of the agenda is all about. That, again, is a distraction from what he wants to do in bringing in millions of Muslims so that he can initiate Sharia law into America, which will nullify the Constitution of our country, and it is a part of an agenda over the next 4 years that you'll see gradually take place, and they'll do it so slowly that it'll be like the frog boiling in the pot, and you won't even realize what is happening to you. You must. The last agenda, you must become your own doctor. This Obamacare is the exact opposite of what you really think it's going to be. Any person that's my age, you even unwanted. They don't need you around, and you won't have a chance. You'll be waiting in the emergency room for 24 hours in order to get service. Mark my words, 40%, and I've made a survey, and I talked to David Johnda, a very prominent practicing physician today who has a nationwide radio show, and he said, Chaplain, 40% of the medical professionals in America are going to quit whenever Obamacare comes in. Can you imagine how long you'll be waiting in the room of the emergency room on any time that you want medical service? So, folks, you must have a mindset change. You positively must prepare for the inevitable. You can, and if you will begin now, you can prepare for what you're going to see happen in coming days, Alex.
Okay, Lindsay, we're about 20 minutes in right now. We got about another 20 minutes left here. I want to talk about prophecyclub.com. People can go there and find all the different works you've done. You've put out just this week, and when you broke this with us yesterday, a group of DVDs breaking down the problems, but also a group of DVDs breaking down the solutions. And so I want to get into solutions, what the so-called elites or alpha maggots are doing. But if folks go to prophecyclub.com, they can obviously find the new DVD sets. There's also a number, which I meant to have here in front of me, but I don't have. So tell people about the two DVD sets and how they get them and the phone number, and then let's go into any other points on what they're planning and then some of the solutions for the now 19 minutes we've got left.
After I was given this information by my elite friend, I thought, what am I going to do? I began preparing. I said, I must record it first, otherwise people say I never said it. So I produced a 3-hour and 29-minute DVD series entitled The Next 4 Years, Everything You Can Expect. When I got through with that, I was so appalled. Remember, I was a pastor for 12 years and a missionary for many years in Alaska. With a pastor's heart, I said, I can't leave people hanging there. We prepared a second DVD series entitled How to Survive the Next 4 Years, and I got two of the finest financial professionals of America together to help me. Please, I hope you'll take down our number, and then I won't say any more about it. Our toll-free number is 1-888-799-6111, or you can go on the web to prophecyclub.com, prophecyclub.com, or toll-free 24 hours a day, 888-799-6111. Now, I have never done anything like this before. We've never given solutions to this extent before. First of all, you must watch the derivative market. They told me that you can tell the sign that the average person can know when before the dollar is going to come to a collapse. It will at some point. The euro is going to collapse. The American dollar will collapse. At some point, it's not going to take place. I don't think, from what my elite friends told me, that it's going to take place within the next 2, maybe even 3 years. But at some point down the line, it is going to happen. And they're going to use the derivative market as the method of collapsing all of the currencies of the world.
Sure, they create the mega debt, the 1,000-plus trillion. They get their people into government. They sign them onto that. They tell us that we owe all the tens of trillions when most of it is in our debt. That's how they've taken down third-world countries. Now they've done it to Europe. Now they're doing it to us. It's about domestication. So it's not just about money. It's about power and control. And I understand that I know who your source is. And I believe that he believes what he's saying. Most of it has been happening accurately. I can see a lot of it in the news as well and from my sources. But, I mean, you know, it was the dollar will be dead. Things are going to go to hell in a handbasket by the end of 2012. I mean, it was this big event. Now it's, well, it'll just collapse over the next 3 to 4 years. Are you saying that just my interpretation of what he said was wrong? Or can you explain that to me?
Well, he explained it to me. In fact, I oftentimes say to my elite friend, I say, wait a minute, you got me in trouble. You said certain things and they're not happening exactly like you said it. And then sometimes he'll say to me, well, Chaplain, go get yourself out of a mess. We're doing the best we can. Other times he'll explain it. He explained this one, Alex. Let me try if I may. The dollar is already dead. It just hasn't come home to roost. What happened in Phnom Penh last week, the dollar, trillions of dollars are floating around out there now that haven't come home yet. What happened when the BRICS group met and formed their meeting? Look to some others, if you will. You remember the largest trade agreement that was ever signed in the history of the world was signed in February of 2012 when China and Japan said that they wouldn't use the American dollar in trade amongst themselves. Now, let me just list very quickly the nations that have already signed trade agreements: China and Russia, China and Brazil, China and Australia, China and Japan, India and Japan. And then there was the India and China, junk oil. Then there was Iran and Russia. Then there was China and Chile. Then there was China and the United Arab Emirates. Then there was China and Africa and the Africans' biggest bank. Standard Bank in Africa said, we'll handle any transaction that you want handled, not using American dollars, for any country in Africa. Then there was the BRICS agreement. Then there was the very latest one between China and Russia. And all of these trade agreements have basically nullified the American dollar. You say, well, I can still go.
Sure, and I want to be clear. Lindsay, I've been saying the dollar's going to die. Most of my expert guests say that as well. I agree with your elitist source. I know who they are. I know they're at the highest circles. And I understand that a lot of the older elite, now that it's gotten to this point, don't like what's happening because they realize how destructive it is. But expanding on everything here, I know Russia's corrupt. I know Communist China's corrupt. I know that they made deals the Chinese did with the globalists in the 70s. So there's kind of a double crossing that goes on. Everybody, it's cloak and dagger, a balancing program. But I've heard what Putin said, and I've heard what some of the Chinese top folks have said and what the BRICS are saying. And they say, your global derivatives are destroying us. You mega bankers have done this. We don't want your new world order. We want our new world order. So it's a bunch of globalists who will use whatever tool of control there is on their population. They're all bad. They're all wanting the latest piece of control because they're control freaks. That's why they're in power. It's like cancer. It wants to control the body even though it kills it. So we know where this is going. But what does it do to the Anglo-American, European, U.S., England New World Order that that the New World Order is so destructive that the other parts of the global system don't want to be second fiddle to it and don't want to go under Agenda 21. I mean, Putin's paying Russians to have kids. Putin's talking about poison in the, you know, in the vaccines. So I'm not saying Putin's a good guy either, but he is getting off the New World Order reservation. Did your elitist friends say anything about that?
Oh, positively. In fact, they realize they have a problem. And in the first portion of this, when I was talking about the three different factions that are going on out there right now, this renegade elite is what they're calling them. And that was the exact words he used to me. He called it a renegade elite. It is worrying them to death. The old-fashioned, the ones that are in their 70s and 80s now that still give me information, they are very concerned about this renegade elite that's out there that is not letting them do exactly what they want to do. But I go back to the dollar being dead. The dollar's already dead. It's like the dog limping home so he can die in the backyard. He hasn't gotten in the backyard yet. But people, 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, when these trillions of dollars return home that are not being used by these nations out here who formed all of these agreements, they have already murdered the dollar. They have already shot it in the back. It is staggering into the backyard. Folks, you have the most glorious window of opportunity right now, while the dollar still has some purchasing power, to go out there and do everything that you're doing. Alex, we just bought a whole new camera system. I'm doing everything I can to spend everything I've got to get into something tangible. And this brings us down to solutions. You must change your mindset and think in terms of the day that you won't have that dollar, that the derivative market has crashed. Now, the derivative market will bring every currency in the world down at the same time. I don't care whether it's the Russians or the Chinese or America. That market is a quadrillion, and it'll bring all of them down. But in the meantime, you still have a dollar that has some value, and you can go out there and do something about it, but it's going to require a mindset change on the part of every person out there. Now, here's my suggestion. You need to so program your mind that you can be independent of every government agency. That's right. Now, you may be getting Social Security. Maybe you have food stamps and welfare, Medicare, Medicaid. That's right. Go ahead. You've got them. You paid for them. Enjoy them while you've got them. But you must have a mindset that is such that if that Social Security check didn't arrive after the physical cliff, that you could do without it. You must get a mindset change that if you had to go to the emergency room and wait for 24 hours in order to get service, you would know where some doctor is that you can go and pay him something under the table and get your help, or you're going to have that help at home in the medicine cabinet. And let me put it this way. If you were a farmer, what would you use as your own reserve currency? Now, please, understand, I'm way out here in the left field now. You cannot depend on the Federal Reserve. You cannot depend on the dollar any longer. If you were a farmer, what would you use as your reserve currency? No, not the Federal Reserve note, not the American dollar. It's gone. It's dead. It's out. It's shot. It's walking in the yard. If you were a farmer, you'd use food that you could raise on your farm, that you could sell and trade with somebody else. If you were a rancher, your alternative currency could be a cow. If you were a dairy man, your alternative could be milk. If you are a city dweller, which most of the people are in America, you had better have some gold and silver because it will pay your way through many, many adverse circumstances. In these next 4 years, you must have a mindset change and think in terms of the day that those food stamps may not be there, that Social Security may not be there. You will need those guns loaded. And you have an alternative currency that you can use to spare your house and keep food on the table of some kind.
And just to interject here, you know, you notice the establishment media says none of us should ever own gold, even though it was $260 and is now $1,700 here in the last 12 years. But you look at governments, institutions, universities, the Chinese, University of Texas, they're all buying gold like it's going out of, you know, I mean, they are just absolutely going crazy out there getting into gold. George Soros is buying it while saying you shouldn't hold it. What do you think's going on there?
Oh, they are buying it. They know what's happening. My elite friends are buying it. They're buying it by the tons. Listen, let me give you a definition of a rut. Now, all you patriots out there, I love you. I'm a part of you. You know what a rut is? A rut is a coffin with both ends knocked out. Somehow you're going to have a mindset change and get out of this rut, this and that and the other, and start thinking of methods and ways that when all of this happens, you need that gold and silver. You need to watch I watch what my elite friend does. And when I see him do something, I do something. You remember back about, 3 years ago, Alex, I came on your show and I said, I just made a survey of all my elite friends. I remember some of them's names, but I don't know where they are today. I only keep in touch with a handful of them. And I contacted them and I said, where are all these other men? And I named them my name. I could not find a single elite that anywhere that is living in a city. Their primary, they might have a penthouse there. They don't have a primary residence there. Their primary residence is out in the middle of nowhere. In fact, I was utterly amazed how many of my elite friends are living in the state of Alaska in the middle of nowhere. And when I see these people doing that, I do the same thing. I got out of the city. I bought gold. Well, my elite friend told me that gold was the currency of the elite. You must get out of the rut that you've been in for these years of thinking you have to do these things in a certain way, and you're going to have to think of methods of an alternative currency, of an alternative lifestyle, and of another way to be able to survive. And oftentimes it's going to have to be on your own, Alex.
Well, Lindsay, I'll tell you, there's thousands of points that, have our big flashing red arrows pointing in the direction that you and your source are talking about. But the 1.6 billion bullets bought by Homeland Security in the last year, since November of 2011, so a little more than a year, the buying thousands of armored giant black tanks, wheeled tanks, the digging in, the hardening of structures, the giant military brigades domestically, the TSA on the streets, I mean, they are gearing up like America is going to totally collapse because they're engineering it. They brag about it. A lot of what you're talking about, they publicly brag about because they know the public is sucking their thumbs, watching television, running around just giggling like lobotomized monkeys or something. What do you expect to happen to the general thumb-sucking public as everything collapses, just begging on their bellies to the government? I mean, this is just the state is God is what we're about to be taught.
That's exactly what I expect the middle class to do. When your children start crying because they're hungry and you haven't listened to what my elite friends have told me personally to do, and your children are crying, you are going to bow to the New World Order. I wish I could say it otherwise, but I don't know how to put it. There's so many of you that won't have a mindset change. And if you listen to what these people are telling me, you can spare yourself great heartaches. You don't have to stay awake at night. You don't have to look for black helicopters. Folks, please don't worry. You remember last year when I had 2012, the beginning of the end, and I said that one of the agendas of the elite was stress and pressure. And I said that I contacted a person in the medical field, and I said, what happens whenever major pressure is placed on the human brain or human being? And they said, Chaplain, worry, we'll shut the brain down. And I went back and I said, that's exactly why my elite friend told me that they are going to inject, you're going to have a terrorist attack next week. Oh, this is going to happen next week. That's going to happen. Physical cliff. Do you realize that this is nothing in the world but a scare tactic to get you to shut your brain down so you can't think about the things that you really need to be doing over these next years, a short period of time that you've got to get ready for the inevitable?
Amazing. Just incredible. Lindsay, I know you've got to go in about 3 or 4 minutes to do another interview, and I appreciate you giving us the exclusive on the radio yesterday and spending the last 50 minutes with us or so here today. In the 3 or 4 minutes you've got left, give out the number one more time for what their plan is and then how to protect for it the two new DVDs.
Toll free 1-888-799-6111 or on the web, prophecyclub.com. Or you can go, this is so amazing, a man in the United Kingdom set up a website for me because I was refused, told I couldn't have one. Go to LindsayWilliams.net, not .com, but .net if you wish. Now, please, we have put together 2 hours and 50 minutes of solutions, nothing but solutions, no hellfire and damnation, no scare tactics, nothing but solutions. We've never done this before. You can spare yourself grave heartache. Alex, you can stay in business. I can stay in business. Remember, there was only about a 3% that bucked the king And as a result, the American Revolution became what it is. We are going to win. But in the meantime, you've got to know what these elite are telling you. Why do the elite tell me these things? They tell me for the sake of me being able to protect myself because of the respect they had for me years ago. But, Alex, the elite are out there. You said it a moment ago. You put it so correctly. You said they're actually laughing at us. That's exactly what's happened. I'll tell you somebody that they're laughing at more than anybody. There have been so many Christian prophets over the past year or two that have given prophets in the name of the Lord that hasn't taken place. And I'm sorry to have to tell you this, pastors, but the elite are actually laughing at the churches of America today. I mean, literally giggling at you because your prophets have been wrong. And you haven't raised up and done anything about it like Moral Majority did years ago. So, Alex, to the best that I can say is, please, 888-799-6111, prophecyclub.com. And, Alex, I consider it a privilege to be able to tell your audience what my elite have told me in order to spare themselves great heartache. You can.
Well, undoubtedly they're planning to implode things. They've done it all over the world. It's their formula. They brag about it. None of this is really even secret. But your source puts it very well and kind of gives us exactly what they're thinking. So I'm glad they're there. And, Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Set that spiritual house in order first. Alex, thank you. Lord bless. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, Lindsay, again, thank you so much for the time. Wow. Well, there goes Lindsay Williams. Unfortunately, I know who his source is, and I know that it is a high-level globalist, at least in the past, who has a lot of contacts. I personally have moved 20 miles outside Austin to the edge of the country. I have personally talked to billionaires, globalists, you name it, and they've all left the country or moved to rural redoubts. They say it won't be enough to be 20 miles outside the city with what they're planning. But they're getting the total collapse of society ready. They're trying to get their authoritarian system in place. The good news is we're fighting back at every level. And there are good people throughout private life, government life, everything. And people are pushing back against the takeover of the churches with the 501c3 and with the clergy response teams and the, quote, consultants that are in all the major denominations now saying if you want your money from the church hierarchy, whether it's Methodist, Baptist, Mormon, Catholic, I mean, governments are in there, and they're giving them faith-based initiative money. And we have seen the Catholics come out and say, we're not going to pay for abortions, and Obama says, yes, you will. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It's illegal. There is no jurisdiction. But going back to the World Council of Churches and then the National Council of Churches, who set up the UN, the Rockefellers, who set up the NAFTA and GATT, the Rockefellers, who just merged the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, who set up the World Council of Churches, the Ford Foundation, Rockefellers. They run it all. And it's incredible. I mean, they have steered the course of this nightmare system. And they set it up going back around 100 years ago, around 1910 or so, a little over 100 years. Wow, time's flying. And they came into the churches and they said, to these big denominations, we'll give you investments, we'll give you endowments, we'll donate billions of dollars to you every decade, and that was billions back then, if you will change your doctrine. And see, you couldn't just have state-run media overnight. It took time to take over the media. You couldn't just have globalist-run religion overnight, like the Soviet Union, where they just take over and then, you know, they arrest all the Orthodox preachers and that's the end of it. And then have state-run churches. It took time, but now Methodist, Episcopalian, you name it, because I have friends, I have family, you know, they all go to church. And part of my family's Methodist, the others are Baptist. And I talk to everybody. I mean, I've had friends bring me from big Baptist churches in Austin where they say, you're not going to criticize Obama and you're not going to talk about politics. Even at church dinners, they're telling members don't talk about politics because we're not allowed to talk about politics at church, claiming that that's separation of church and state. Separation of church and state means the state has no jurisdiction over religion, not the other way around. So they tricked them in the last 70 years or so to sign 501c3s, 501c4s, there's others, becoming charitable organizations that are government controlled. And they did it by buying off the leadership of the churches. And they are now pulling at Methodist churches the crosses out. They are now pulling them out of Episcopalian. They are now pulling them out of some of the Catholic churches. I mean, it's on. It's on. And they're saying, well, that might offend people. And we don't worship Jesus. And whether you're a Christian or not, folks, even if you're an atheist out there, state-run religion, 501c3, how many billions? I haven't checked. Type in, it was like 50 billion a few years ago that Bush was giving out a year. Guys, search this real quick here before we go to Ron Paul. Faith-based initiative yearly spending. It was $50 billion the year Bush left office. I want to know what it is now. Because last time I read, they were in, $50 billion going to your churches where they get the new vans, the new bus, they get the widescreen TVs, the pastor goes, even at small churches. A lot of unpaid pastors are now getting $50 grand a year. They might have a flock of 30, 40 people that come, old ladies they visit. And there it is. Obama stimulus pours millions into faith-based groups. That's Politico. That's a complete whitewash. That's 120,000 sent to local homes. So that's one town. $787 billion. That was the total of the Reinvestment Act. And then I guess parts of it, they just give you a small number there. We need the total number. Wikipedia will have it. I mean, I know it was $50 billion the year Bush left office. The point is we can at least do this. Put up the text of the First Amendment. Yeah, 140 million out of stimulus, and I'm sure that's a tiny bit. Guys, just do this. Let's just put the First Amendment up for people. Let's just put the First Amendment up for people. The text of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And then, or of the press, or the people's right to peaceably assemble for redress of grievances. And we'll put it up on screen so people can see the text of the First Amendment. There it is. I was going from memory. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Yeah, I forgot the freedom of speech part, but look, Congress shall make no law. Let's put that back up there. And there's all the debates about it. It's 100% clear. Congress shall make no law. Let's say it again. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Folks, there's thousands of them. They go in and tell mainly conservative constitutional type churches, you will not talk about the Second Amendment. They tell the Bible study people, the deacons, that you will not talk about anything in America. Is that clear? You will accept everything. And I mean, I've tried to go to probably 15 different churches in this town. And even if they're more patriotic, anti-New World Order, even to a certain extent, it's still, oh, the military's so great. And they mean wars and aggression are. See, so patriotism now is pro-war, pro-death, pro-lies. And you know, some churches are like, maybe we shouldn't talk bad about abortion. You know, that's political. And it's all a fraud. And you have the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. Pastor Dixon I had on many times. That was one of the oldest churches in the country, the biggest church in the country at one time. They said, we're not 501c3. They got out of it. They said, we're not going to sit here and be tax collectors for the government. You collect that from our people that work here. That wasn't even the issue. They said, we're not going to be 501c3. They said, you cannot make a law respecting the establishment of religion. They said, we don't care if you're not 501c3. We're going to apply that to you for charities. And it's indentured servitude in this country. You waive your rights with an IRS thing. They grab your bank accounts without due process, and it all goes to the private Federal Reserve. Okay, I'm done. We're going to go to break and come back with Congressman Ron Paul. It's 50-plus minutes long. It is Ron Paul the film. I mean, I think that's the best name for this because it crystallizes what he stands for, and it's his speech augmented with video clips and documentation. By the way, PrisonPlanet.tv, in the past we let yourself and five others, if you create a username passcode that you're able to share, don't have a PrisonPlanet.tv code that you wouldn't want to share, you know, like your bank account code or something. Create a new code, username, passcode, you know, and then send it out as an e-gift, you know, as an email. They have little e-cards, but just an email saying, hey, I've given you a gift subscription to PrisonPlanet.tv. It's such a great deal And when you go there in the sign-up area, again, it tells you that when you go to prisonplanet.tv and you sign up, it takes about a minute to do, and you get a monthly trial, $5.95 membership. You get 10 memberships for the price of one. That's 59 cents a piece. And then it's one username, passcode. You email that to friends and family or put in a card and give it to them and say, here's your prisonplanet.tv membership. So you get your own membership, you support us, and then you get to wake up others. And 10 people can simultaneously log in. And if everybody uses this, we'll actually lose money because of the bandwidth. I know people are. You could give them, you know, pearls of wisdom, pearls. I remember Mark Dice a few years ago tried to, reporter Mike Dice, went out and tried to get people to buy a gold coin from him. And, you know, for I think it was $20, he said, and they just got real upset and said no, and they held it. Oh, no, I don't want that. And, of course, it was worth at that time, I think, about $1,500. It's even more now. And so I know of the 10 you give it to aren't going to probably watch it, but maybe three or four will. So it's all there. Films, books, everything. Prisonplanet.tv, InfoWarsNews.com will get you there, and you support the system we're building up as well. So if you already have a membership that you and your wife or husband use, or you show people at work, you share around work and stuff, great. Go get another one. Buy a couple memberships, and then each, buy 10 memberships. That's 100 memberships. But you can buy one, $5.95 a month. And I just want people to see the show. I want them to wake up. I want them to see this interview with Lindsay we just had. I want them to get ready, get prepared. I want them to hear from Ron Paul and really augment his great speech. I mean, we have passion here. Our problem is we try to produce too much with the crew we've got. So thank you for all your support. We couldn't do it without you. We're going to go to break and come back with Congressman Ron Paul and his historic speech. In fact, we're just going to come right back and go right into it because I already intro it in the film. So Ron Paul the film, Ron Paul the movie, right after these important messages. Stay with us.
I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, bringing you our Drone Minute because remember, we're having our drone mob this Saturday, December 8th, right here in Austin, Texas. We have an article for you, headline: DARPA-sponsored company unveils drone that can fly through doors and windows. And you guys should check out the video there. The military's tech research arm has developed a drone that can fly through doors and windows and relay back high-resolution surveillance video indefinitely without a break-in signal. Now, I'm sure this has good applications for things such as burning buildings, finding survivors there within. But we also have another article here. Headline: government documents prove domestic drones are for spying. And if you take a look at this document, you'll see that police departments in Little Rock, Seattle, Miami, and the Texas Department of Public Safety all admit that they want to use these drones for spy purposes. Join InfoWars this Saturday as we meet at Zilker Park. You can see it right here behind me. This is the area where they have the Austin City Limits. You can see there's Barton Springs Road right down here. And if we can zoom in a little bit, we'll show you the parking lot. We'll actually be meeting. It's right here in this area. And just north of here is where we will be having our drones. We will have the InfoWars flag flying high. So make sure you look for this statement of freedom. So be sure to join us this Saturday at 11 a.m. There will also be a video contest for the best video filmed at the event and posted on YouTube. So make sure you check out InfoWars.com and hashtag Drone Mob for more details. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Alex Jones here with some very important breaking news. The latest edition of InfoWars Magazine, December 2012, is out. And no, we don't really cover people that think that the world is going to end on December 21st. We are predicting the world will not end. But we are predicting that the end of our free republic may take place if people don't wake up and get aggressive and angry and speak out against what's happening. This man wants your guns. That is the cover of the 60-page glossy magazine, jam-packed with information. And the truth, and you know what they say, the truth will set you free. You can buy the magazine at cost in bulk in groups of 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, right up to 100 to give everyone you know. And believe me, people will open this up. It is full of unbelievably powerful graphics, cartoons. We've got artist profiles on patriots out there that are exposing the globalist, and it's got several articles breaking down the facts that Obama and his globalist controllers want to disarm the American people and are going to try to ban all semi-autos. The facts are in this magazine, and this is the most important of the four issues we have ever put out. And when you do sign up for the subscription, you don't just get 12 in the mail. When supplies last of the previous issues, we will put back issues like the November issue, Zombies, Are You a Zombie?, breaking down how television has put the general public into a trance-like state. You will get that when you sign up for the next 12 issues in December of 2012. My goal is to expose the globalist and to win the info war so it doesn't become a physical war. We've seen Hillary Clinton saying that they're winning the info war. Top globalist Zbigniew Brzezinski says that nationalism is growing and that people are waking up against outside forces because of populism and alternative media. This particular issue of the magazine is the one to give friends and family. It's the one to put under the tree or in the stocking. It's the one to leave at church. It's the one to leave at the dentist office. This is the one, the December issue of InfoWars magazine with Ron Paul, the attack on the Second Amendment, the police state, the GMO takeover. It's all there and all available at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139. Get your subscription or buy the magazines in bulk today. I'm Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com. Until next time, remember, if you're watching this, if you're receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. November 14th, 2012, outgoing Congressman Ron Paul gave not just one of the most powerful speeches of his career defending liberty, but one of the most powerful speeches I have ever seen or read, not just in U.S. history, but in world history. It is a new declaration of independence against the globalist, against the private global corporate government that got a beachhead with the private Federal Reserve in 1913 and who has now taken this country over and used us as the engine of corruption and oppression and premeditated offensive war worldwide. He lays out their crimes, but then he lays out the solution and the way out of this nation that has become a tyrant's tyranny, where the law is basically dead and where we are ruled by a collection of organized crime operating as special interest. So I went to my crew and one of my best editors and researchers, John Bowne, and said, I want you to get together all the documentation, all the news articles, the video clips that back up what Ron Paul says, because everything he talked about is true and then some. And so basically, this is Ron Paul's 48-minute speech augmented with news articles, legislation, documents, and video clips, so that when he says we're going into global government, our president is telling the Congress that NATO and the UN gives us authority to go to war. We're losing our freedom. The NDAA can secretly arrest us. You can see the news articles. You can see the video clips. You can see the New World Order rubbing our faces in it that we're now under an unelected global government. So Ron Paul breaks it all down. And I wanted to add something to this incredible speech, and that's what we've done. It is Ron Paul's farewell address squared. I've been trying to think of a name of it, and really, we're about to release this in just a day or so, and I still can't think of words strong enough to accurately break down what this is. It's his address to the New World Order. It's his address to history. It's Ron Paul's warning to the world. But at the same time, it's not just negative. He offers solutions. Collectivism and tyranny, or rugged individualism and liberty. Because status can always package tyranny as something that's good and altruistic. But history shows big government does one thing. It destroys individuals. It creates giant gangs of people that are dependent and allied with the corrupt establishment, and things just get worse from there. So here is Ron Paul's farewell address. But I happen to know about some of the stuff Ron Paul's about to be announcing. It's actually Ron Paul firing the first big salvo in what will become the second American Revolution. Not to end the Union, but to restore the Republic against the globalist. So here is the augmented, bibliographed, documented Ron Paul farewell address. Please share it with everyone you know, because now everything he talks about is documented to the next level for people out there that may not understand his well-researched and eloquent words. Here is Dr. Paul from the floor of the House.
The gentleman from Texas, Mr. Paul, is recognized for 60 minutes as the designee of the majority leader.
I thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask unanimous consent to revise and extend my remarks.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, this may be the last time I speak on the House floor. At the end of the year, I'll leave Congress after 23 years in office over a 36-year period. My goals in 1976 were the same as they are today: promote peace and prosperity by a strict adherence to the principles of individual liberty. It was my opinion that the course of the U.S. embarked on in the latter part of the 20th century would bring us a major financial crisis and engulf us in a foreign policy that would overextend us and undermine our national security. To achieve these goals, I sought, the government would have had to shrink in size and scope, reduce spending, change the monetary system, and reject the unsustainable cost of policing the world and expanding the American empire. The problem seemed to be overwhelming and impossible to solve, yet from my viewpoint, just following the constraints placed on the federal government by the Constitution would have been a good place to start. Just how much did I accomplish? In many ways, according to conventional wisdom, my off-and-on career in Congress from 1976 to 2012 accomplished very little. No name regulation, legislation, no name federal buildings or highways, thank goodness. In spite of my efforts, the government has grown exponentially, taxes remain excessive, and the prolific increase of incomprehensible regulations continues. Wars are constant and pursued without congressional declaration, deficits rise to the sky, poverty is rampant, and dependency on the federal government is now worse than any time in our history. All this with minimal concerns for the deficits and unfunded liabilities that common sense tells us cannot go on much longer. A grand but never mentioned bipartisan agreement allows for the well-kept secret that keeps the spending going.
The American economy was falling off the cliff in the fall of 08 and the first months of his administration. And he put in place the most creative, the most forceful set of economic measures we have ever done as a country. And because of that, we prevented a second Great Depression, and the economy has now been growing for more than a year and a half, more than 2 million jobs in the private sector since job creation started again, faster job creation than the last two recoveries.
One side doesn't give up one penny on military spending. The other side doesn't give up one penny on welfare spending, while both sides support the bailouts and the subsidies for the banking and the corporate elite. And the spending continues as the economy weakens and the downward spiral continues. As the government continues fiddling around, our liberties and our wealth burn in the flames of a foreign policy that makes us less safe. The major stumbling block to real change in Washington is the total resistance to admitting that the country is broke. This has made compromising just to agree to increase spending inevitable, since neither side has any intention on cutting spending. The country and the Congress will remain divisive, since there's no loot left to divvy up.
Aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? To answer your question, we are absolutely slaves to central banks, because, and we'd love to be slaves of the economy, but the economic numbers continue to do nothing but trend. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge?
Without this recognition, the spenders in Washington will continue to march toward a fiscal cliff much bigger than the one anticipated this coming January. I've thought a lot about why those of us who believe in liberty as a solution have done so poorly in convincing others of its benefits. If liberty is what we claim it is, the principle that protects all personal, social, and economic decisions necessary for maximum prosperity and the best chance for peace, it should be an easy sell. Yet history has shown that the masses have been quite receptive to the promises of authoritarians, which are rarely, if ever, fulfilled. Should we have authoritarianism or liberty? If authoritarianism leads to poverty and war and less freedom for all individuals and is controlled by rich special interests, the people should be begging for liberty. There certainly was a strong enough sentiment for more freedom at the time of our founding that motivated those who were willing to fight in the revolution against the powerful British government. During my time in Congress, the appetite for liberty has been quite weak, the understanding of its significance negligible. Yet the good news is that compared to 1976, when I first came to Congress, the desire for more freedom and less government in 2012 is much greater and growing, especially in grassroots America. Tens of thousands of teenagers and college-age students are, with great enthusiasm, welcoming the message of liberty. I have a few thoughts as to why the people of a country like ours, once the freest and most prosperous, allowed the conditions to deteriorate to the degree that they have. Freedom, private property, and enforceable voluntary contracts generate wealth. In our early history, we were very much aware of this. But in the early part of the 20th century, our politicians promoted the notion that the tax and monetary system had to change. If we were to involve ourselves in excessive domestic and military spending, that is why Congress gave us the Federal Reserve and the income tax. The majority of Americans and many government officials agreed that sacrificing some liberty was necessary to carry out what some claim to be progressive ideas.
This is public property?
No, it's not actually. Can't cooperate, you need to leave.
Pure democracy became acceptable. They failed to recognize that what they were doing was exactly opposite of what the colonists were seeking when they broke away from the British. Some complain that my arguments make no sense, since great wealth and the standard of living improved for many Americans over the last 100 years, even with these new policies. But the damage to the market economy and the currency has been insidious and steady. It took a long time to consume our wealth, destroy the currency, and undermine productivity and get our financial obligations to a point of no return. Confidence sometimes lasts longer than deserved. Most of our wealth today depends on debt. The wealth that we enjoyed and seemed to be endless allowed concern for the principle of a free society to be neglected. As long as most people believed the material abundance would last forever, worrying about protecting a competitive, productive economy and individual liberty seemed unnecessary. The age of redistribution. This neglect ushered in an age of redistribution of wealth by government, kowtowing to any and all special interests, except for those who just wanted to be left alone. That is why today, money in politics far surpasses money currently going into research and development and productive entrepreneurial efforts. The material benefits became more important than the understanding and promoting the principles of liberty and a free market. It is good that material abundance is a result of liberty, but if materialism is all that we care about, problems are guaranteed. The crisis arrived because the illusion that wealth and prosperity would last forever has ended. Since it was based on debt and a pretense that debt can be papered over by an out-of-control fiat monetary system, it was doomed to fail. We have ended up with a system that doesn't produce enough even to finance the debt, and no fundamental understanding of why a free society is crucial to reversing these trends. If this is not recognized, the recovery will linger for a long time. Bigger government, more spending, more debt, more poverty for the middle class, and a more intense scramble by the elite special interests will continue. We need an intellectual awakening. Without an intellectual awakening, the turning point will be driven by economic law. A dollar crisis will bring the current out-of-control system to its knees. If it's not accepted that big government, fiat money, ignoring liberty, central economic planning, welfareism, and warfareism caused our crisis, we can expect a continuous and dangerous march toward corporatism and even fascism, with even more loss of our liberties. Prosperity for a large middle class, though, will become an abstract dream. This continuous move is no different than what we have seen in how our financial crisis of 2008 was handled. Congress first directed, with bipartisan support, bailouts for the wealthy. Then it was the Federal Reserve with its endless quantitative easing. If at first it doesn't succeed, try again. QE1, QE2, QE3, and with no results, we try QE indefinitely. That is, until it too fails. There is a cost to all of this, and let me assure you, delaying the payment is no longer an option. The rules of the market will extract its pound of flesh, and it won't be pretty. The current crisis elicits a lot of pessimism, and the pessimism adds to less confidence in the future. The two feed on themselves, making our situation worse. If the underlying cause of the crisis is not understood, we cannot solve our problems. The issue of warfare and welfare, deficits, inflationism and corporatism, bailouts and authoritarianism cannot be ignored. By only expanding these policies, we cannot expect good results. Everyone claims support for freedom, but too often it's for one's own freedoms and not for others. Too many believe that there must be limits on freedom. They argue that freedom must be directed and managed to achieve fairness and equality, thus making acceptable to curtail through force certain liberties. Some decide what and whose freedoms to be limited. These are the politicians whose goal in life is power. Their success depends on gaining support from special interests. We don't need more isms. The great news is the answer is not to be found in more isms. The answers are to be found in more liberty, which costs so much less. Under these circumstances, spending goes down, wealth production goes up, and the quality of life improves. Just this recognition, especially if we move in this direction, increases optimism, which in itself is beneficial. The follow-through with sound policies are required, which must be understood and supported by the people. But there is good evidence that the generation coming of age at the present time is supportive of moving in the direction of more liberty and self-reliance. The more this change in direction and the solutions become known, the quicker will be our return to optimism. Our job, for those of us who believe that a different system than the one that we have had for the last 100 years has driven us to this unsustainable crisis, is to be more convincing that there is a wonderful, uncomplicated, and moral system that provides the answers. We had a taste of it in our early history. We need not give up on the notion of advancing this cause. It worked, but we allowed our leaders to concentrate on the material abundance that freedom generates while ignoring freedom itself. Now we have neither, but the door is open out of necessity for an answer. The answer available is based on the Constitution, individual liberty, in prohibiting the use of government force to provide privileges and benefits to all special interests. After over 100 years, we face a society quite different from the one that was intended by the founders. In many ways, their efforts to protect future generations with the Constitution from this danger has failed. Skeptics at the time of the Constitution was written in 1787 warned us of today's possible outcome. The insidious nature of the erosion of our liberties and the reassurance our great abundance gave us allowed the process to evolve into a dangerous period in which we now live. Dependency on government largesse. Today, we face a dependency on government largesse for almost every need. Our liberties are restricted, and government operates outside the rule of law, protecting and rewarding those who buy or coerce government into satisfying their demands. Here are a few examples. Undeclared wars are commonplace.
Today, in his press conference, the president made clear that he believes the law does allow him to make this commitment on his own. Listen to this for a moment, if you would.
I'm not a Supreme Court justice, so I'm not going to put my constitutional law professor hat on here. Do I think that our actions in any way violate the War Powers Resolution? The answer is no. So I don't even have to get to the constitutional question.
Simply, sir, what's your reaction?
That's a horrible statement.
Welfare for the rich and poor is considered an entitlement. The economy is overregulated, overtaxed, and grossly distorted by a deeply flawed monetary system. Debt is growing exponentially. The Patriot Act and FISA legislation passed without much debate have resulted in a steady erosion of our Fourth Amendment rights. Tragically, our government engages in preemptive war, otherwise known as aggression, with no complaints from the American people. The drone warfare we are pursuing worldwide is destined to end badly for us as the hatred builds for innocents' lives lost and the international laws flaunted. Once we are financially weakened and militarily challenged, there will be a lot of resentment thrown our way. It's now the law of the land that the military can arrest American citizens, hold them indefinitely without charges or a trial. Rampant hostility toward free trade is supported by a large number in Washington. Supporters of sanctions, currency manipulation, and WTO trade retaliation call the true free traders isolationists. Sanctions are used to punish countries that don't follow our orders. Bailouts and guarantees of all kind of misbehavior are routine. Central economic planning through monetary policy, regulations, and legislative mandates has been acceptable policy. I have a few questions. Excessive government has created such a mess, it prompts many questions. Why are sick people who use medical marijuana put in prison? Why does the federal government restrict the drinking of raw milk? Why can't American manufacturers rope and other products from hemp? Why are Americans not allowed to use gold and silver as legal tender as mandated by the Constitution? Why is Germany concerned enough to consider repatriating their gold held by the Fed for her in New York? Is it that the trust in the U.S. and dollar supremacy beginning to wane? Why do our political leaders believe it's unnecessary to thoroughly audit our own gold? Why can't Americans decide which type of light bulbs they can buy? Why is it the TSA permitted to abuse the rights of any American traveling by air? Why should there be mandatory sentences, even up to life, for crimes without victims, as our drug laws require? Why have we allowed the federal government to regulate commodes in our homes? Why is it political suicide for anyone to criticize AIPAC? Why haven't we given up on the drug war since it's an obvious failure and violates the people's rights? Has nobody noticed that the authorities can't even keep drugs out of the prisons? How can making our entire society a prison solve the problem? Why do we sacrifice so much getting necessarily involved in border disputes and civil strife around the world and ignore the root cause of the most dangerous, deadly border in the world, the one between Mexico and the United States? Why does Congress willingly give up its prerogatives to the executive branch? Why does changing the party in power never change policy? Could it be that the views of both parties are essentially the same? Why did the big banks, the large corporations, and foreign banks and foreign central banks get bailed out in 2008 and the middle class lost their jobs and their homes? Why do so many in the government and the federal officials believe that creating money out of thin air creates wealth? Why do so many accept the deeply flawed principle that government bureaucrats and politicians can protect us from ourselves without totally destroying the principle of liberty? Why can't people understand that war always destroys wealth and liberty? Why is there so little concern for the executive order that gives the president authority to establish a kill list, including American citizens, of those targeted for assassination? Why is patriotism thought to be blind loyalty to the government and the politicians who run it, rather than loyalty to the principles of liberty and support for the people? Real patriotism is a willingness to challenge the government when it's wrong. Why is it claimed that if people won't or can't take care of their own needs, that people in government are able to do it for them? Why did we ever give the government a safe haven for initiating violence against the people? Why do so many members defend free markets but not civil liberties? Why do so many members defend civil liberties but not free markets? Aren't they the same? Why don't more defend both economic liberty and personal liberty? Why are there not more individuals who seek to intellectually influence others to bring about positive changes, those who seek power changes, than those who seek power to force others to obey their commands? Why does the use of religion to support a social gospel and preemptive wars, both of which require authoritarians to use violence or the threat of violence, go unchallenged? Aggression and forced redistribution of wealth has nothing to do with the teachings of the world's great religions. Why do we allow the government and the Federal Reserve to disseminate false information dealing with both economic and foreign policy? Why is democracy held in such high esteem when it's the enemy, of the minority and makes all rights relative to the dictates of the majority? Why should anyone be surprised that Congress has no credibility, since there's such a disconnect between what politicians say and what they do? Is there any explanation for all the deception, the unhappiness, the fear of the future, the loss of confidence in our leaders, the distrust and the anger and frustration? Yes, there is. And there's a way to reverse these attitudes. The negative perceptions are logical and a consequence of bad policies bringing about our problems. Identification of the problems and recognizing the cause allow the proper changes to come easily. We should have more trust in ourselves, less in the government. Too many people have for too long placed too much confidence and trust in government and not enough in themselves. Fortunately, many are now becoming aware of the seriousness of the gross mistakes of the past several decades. The blame is shared by both political parties. Many Americans now are demanding to hear the plain truth of things and want the demagoguing to stop. Without this first step, solutions are impossible. Seeking the truth and finding the answers in liberty and self-reliance promotes the optimism necessary for restoring prosperity. The task is not that difficult if politics doesn't get in the way. We have allowed ourselves to get into such a mess for various reasons. Politicians deceive themselves as to how wealth is produced. Excessive confidence is placed in the judgment of politicians and bureaucrats. This replaces the confidence in a free society. Too many in high places of authority became convinced that only they, armed with arbitrary government power, can bring about fairness while facilitating wealth production. This always proves to be a utopian dream and destroys wealth and liberty. It impoverishes the people and rewards the special interests who end up controlling both parties. It's no surprise that much of what goes on in Washington is driven by aggressive partisanship and power seeking, with philosophic differences being minor. Economic ignorance is commonplace. Keynesianism continues to thrive, although today it is facing healthy, enthusiastic rebuttals. Believers in military Keynesianism and domestic Keynesianism continue to desperately promote their failed policy as the economy languishes in a deep slumber. Supporters of all government edicts use humanitarian arguments to justify them. Humanitarian arguments are always used to justify government mandates related to the economy, monetary policy, foreign policy, and personal liberty. This is on purpose to make it more difficult to challenge. But initiating violence for humanitarian reasons is still violence. Good intentions are no excuse and are just as harmful as when the people use with and force with bad intentions. The results are always negative. The immoral use of force is the source of man's political problems. Sadly, many religious groups, secular organizations, and psychopathic authoritarians endorse government-initiated force to change the world, even when the desired goals are well-intentioned, or especially when they're well-intentioned. The results are dismal. The good results sought never materialize. The new problems created require even more government force as a solution. The net result is institutionalizing government-initiated violence and morally justifying it on humanitarian grounds. This is the same fundamental reason our government uses force for invading other countries at will, central economic planning at home, and the regulation of personal liberty and habits of our citizens. It is rather strange that unless one has a criminal mind and no respect for other people and their property, no one claims it's permissible to go into one's neighbor's house and tell them how to behave, what they can eat, smoke, and drink, or how to spend their money. Yet, rarely is it asked why is it morally acceptable that a stranger with a badge and a gun can do the same thing in the name of law and order. Any resistance is met with brute force, fines, taxes, arrests, and even imprisonment. This is done more frequently every day without a search warrant. No government monopoly over initiating violence is what we need. Restraining aggressive behavior is one thing, but legalizing a government monopoly for initiating aggression can only lead to exhausting liberty associated with chaos, anger, and the breakdown of civil society. Permitting such authority and expecting a saintly behavior from the bureaucrats and the politicians is a pipe dream. We now have a standing army of armed bureaucrats in the TSA, CIA, FBI, Fish and Wildlife, FEMA, IRS, Corps of Engineers, etc., numbering over 100,000. Citizens are guilty until proven innocent in the unconstitutional administrative courts.
I don't have to show my ID, sir.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't, sir.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. It's my constitutional right.
I just need your information. That's all.
For why? I'm not withholding, but just why?
Because I need to do a report.
On what? I'm just a guy standing here.
But they're calling me, so now a report has to be generated.
Let me see your identification.
I don't need to show you my identification.
He doesn't have to show you his identification.
Government in a free society should have no authority to meddle in the social activities or the economic transactions of individuals. Nor should government meddle in the affairs of other nations. All things peaceful, even when controversial, should be permitted. We must reject the notion of prior restraint in economic activity, just as we do in the area of free speech and religious liberty. But even in these areas, government is starting to use a backdoor approach of political correctness to regulate speech, a very dangerous trend. Since 9/11, monitoring speech on the Internet is now a problem since warrants are no longer required. the proliferation of federal crimes. The Constitution established 4 federal crimes. Today, the experts can't even agree on how many federal crimes are now on the books. They number into the thousands. No one person can comprehend the enormity of the legal system, especially the tax code. Due to the ill-advised drug wars and the endless federal expansion of the criminal code, we have over 6 million people under correctional suspension, more than the Soviets ever had and more than any other nation today, including China. I don't understand the complacency of the Congress and the willingness to continue their obsession with passing more federal laws. Mandatory sentencing laws associated with drug laws have compounded our prison problems. The Federal Register is now 75,000 pages long and the tax code 72,000 pages and expands every year. When will the people start shouting, enough is enough, and demand Congress to cease and desist? What we should be doing is achieving liberty. Liberty can only be achieved when government is denied the aggressive use of force. If one seeks liberty, a precise type of government is needed. To achieve it, more than lip service is required. There are 2 choices available. 1, a government designed to protect liberty is a natural right as its sole objective. The people are expected to care for themselves and reject the use of any force for interfering with another person's liberty. Government is given a strictly limited authority to enforce contracts, property ownerships, settle disputes, and defend against foreign aggression. 2, a government that pretends to protect liberty but is granted power to arbitrarily use force over the people and foreign nations. Though the grant of power many times is meant to be small and limited, it inevitably metastasizes into an omnipotent political cancer. This is the problem for which the world has suffered throughout the ages. Though meant to be limited, it nevertheless is a 100% sacrifice of the principle that would-be tyrants find irresistible. It is used vigorously, though incrementally and insidiously. Granting power to government officials always proves the adage that power corrupts. Once government gets a limited concession for the use of force to mold people's habits and plan the economy, it causes a steady erosion and a steady move toward tyrannical government. Only a revolutionary spirit can reverse the process and deny the government this arbitrary use of aggression. There is no in-between. Sacrificing a little liberty for imaginary safety always ends badly. Today's mess is a result of Americans accepting option number 2, even though the founders attempted to give us option number 1. The results are not good. As our liberties have been eroded, our wealth has been consumed. The wealth we see today is based on debt and a foolish willingness on the part of foreigners to take our dollars for goods and services. Then they loan them back to us to perpetuate our debt system. It's amazing that it has worked for this long, but the impasse in Washington in solving our problems indicate that many are starting to understand the seriousness of this worldwide debt crisis and the dangers we face. The longer this process continues, the harsher the outcome will be. The financial crisis is actually a moral crisis. Many are acknowledging that a financial crisis looms, but few understand it's in reality a moral crisis. It's the moral crisis that has allowed our liberties to be undermined and permits the exponential growth of illegal government power. Without a clear understanding of the nature of the crisis, it will be difficult to prevent a steady march toward tyranny and the poverty that will accompany it. Ultimately, the people have to decide which form of government they want. Option number 1 or option number 2. There is no other choice. Claiming there is a choice of a little tyranny is like describing pregnancy as a touch of pregnancy. It is a myth to believe that a mixture of free markets and government central economic planning is a worthy compromise. What we see today is a result of that type of thinking, and the results speak for themselves. A culture of violence. Americans now suffer from a culture of violence. It is easy to reject the initiation of violence against one's neighbor, But it's ironic that the people arbitrarily and freely anoint government officials with monopoly power to initiate violence against the American people, practically at will. Because it's the government that initiates force, most people accept it as being legitimate. Those who exert the force have no sense of guilt. It is believed by many, by too many, that governments are morally justified in initiating violence supposedly to do good. They incorrectly believe that this authority has come from the consent of the people. The minority, or victims of government violence, never consented to suffer the abuse of government mandates, even when dictated by the majority. Victims of TSA excesses never consented to this abuse. This attitude has given us a policy of initiating war to do good as well. It is claimed that war, to prevent war for noble purposes, is justified. This is similar to what we were once told that, quote, destroying a village to save a village, close quote, was justified. It was said by a U.S. Secretary of State that the loss of 500,000 Iraqis, mostly children, in the 1990s as a result of American bombs and sanctions was worth it to achieve the good we brought to the people of Iraq. And look at the mess that Iraq is in today. Government use of force to mold social and economic behavior at home and abroad has justified individuals using force on their own terms. The fact that violence by government is seen as morally justified is the reason why violence will increase when the big financial crisis hits and becomes a political crisis as well. First, we recognize that individuals shouldn't initiate violence. Then we give the authority to the government. Eventually, the immoral use of government violence, when things go badly, will be used to justify an individual's right to do the same thing. Neither the government nor individuals have the moral right to initiate violence against another, yet we are moving toward the day when both will claim this authority. If this cycle is not reversed, society will break down. When needs are pressing and conditions deteriorate and rights become relative to the demands and the whims of the majority, it's then not a great leap for individuals to take it upon themselves to use violence to get what they claim is theirs.
That's not right! That's not right! That's not right what y'all doing!
As the economy deteriorates and the wealth discrepancy increase, as they already are occurring, violence increases as those in need take it in their own hands to get what they believe is theirs. They will not wait for a government rescue program. When government officials wield power over others to bail out the special interests, even with disastrous results to the average citizens, they feel no guilt for the harm they do. Those who take us into undeclared wars with many casualties resulting never lose sleep over the deaths and the destruction their bad decisions caused. They are convinced that what they do is morally justified, and the fact that many suffer just can't be helped.
The truth is that Wall Street regulates the Congress. They have untold, unlimited amounts of money, money which they use, by the way, to get the deregulation.
When the street criminals do the same thing, they too have no remorse, believing that they are only taking what is rightfully theirs. All moral standards become relative. Whether it's bailouts, privileges, government subsidies, or benefits for some from inflating a currency, it's all part of a process justified by a philosophy of forced redistribution of wealth. Violence or a threat of such is the instrument required and unfortunately is of little concern of most members of Congress. Some argue it's only a matter of fairness, that those in need are cared for. There are two problems with this. First, the principle is used to provide a greater amount of benefits to the rich than to the poor. Second, no one seems to be concerned about whether or not it's fair to those who end up paying for all the benefits. The costs are usually placed on the backs of the middle class and are hidden from the public eye. Too many people believe government handouts are free, like printing money out of thin air and there's no cost. That deception is coming to an end. The bills are coming due, and that's what the economic slowdown is all about. Sadly, we have become accustomed to living with the illegitimate use of force by government. It is the tool for telling the people how to live, what to eat and drink, what to read, and how to spend their money. To develop a truly free society, the issue of initiating force must be understood and rejected. Granting to government even a small amount of force is a dangerous concession. Limiting government excesses versus a virtuous moral people. Our Constitution, which was intended to limit government power and abuse, has failed. The founders warned that a free society depends on a virtuous and moral people. The current crisis reflects that their concerns were justified. Many politicians and pundits are aware of the problems we face, but spend all their time in trying to reform government. The sad part is that the suggested reforms almost always leads to less freedom, and the importance of a virtuous and moral people is either ignored or not understood. The new reforms serve only to further undermine liberty. The compounding effect has given us the steady erosion of liberty and the massive expansion of debt. The real question is, if it is liberty we seek, should most of the emphasis be placed on government reform or trying to understand what a virtuous and moral people means and how to promote it? The Constitution has not prevented the people from demanding handouts for both rich and poor in their efforts to reform the government while ignoring the principles of a free society. All branches of our government today are controlled by individuals who use their power to undermine liberty and enhance the welfare, warfare state, and frequently their own wealth and power. If the people are unhappy with the government performance, it must be recognized that government is merely a reflection of an immoral society that rejected a moral government of constitutional limits on power and love of freedom. If this is the problem, all the tinkering with thousands of pages of new laws and regulations will do nothing to solve the problem. It is self-evident that our freedoms have been severely limited, and the apparent prosperity we still have is nothing more than leftover wealth from a previous time. This fictitious wealth based on debt and benefits from a false trust in our currency and credit will play havoc with our society when the bills come due. This means that the full consequence of our lost liberties is yet to be felt. But that illusion is now ending. Reversing a downward spiral depends on accepting a new approach. Expect the rapidly expanding homeschooling movement to play a significant role in the revolutionary reforms needed to rebuild a free society with constitutional protections. We cannot expect a federal government-controlled school system to provide the intellectual ammunition to combat the dangerous growth of government that threatens our liberties. The Internet will provide the alternative to the government media complex that controls the news and most political propaganda. This is why it's essential that the Internet remains free of government regulation. Many of our religious institutions and secular organizations support greater dependency on the state by supporting war, welfare, and corporatism, and ignore the need for a virtuous people. I never believed that the world or our country could be made more free by politicians if the people had no desire for freedom. Under the current circumstances, the most we can hope to achieve in the political process is to use it as a podium to reach the people, to alert them of the nature of the crisis and the importance of their need to assume responsibility for themselves. If it is liberty that they truly seek, without this, a constitutionally protected free society is impossible. If this is true, our individual goal in life ought to be for us to seek virtue and excellence and recognize that self-esteem and happiness only comes from using one's natural ability in the most productive manner possible, according to one's own talents.
Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Productivity and creativity are the true source of personal satisfaction. Freedom and not dependency provides the environment needed to achieve these goals. Government cannot do this for us. It only gets in the way. When the government gets involved, the goal becomes a bailout or a subsidy, and these cannot provide a sense of personal achievement. Achieving legislative power and political influence should not be our goal. Most of the change, if it is to come, will not come from the politicians, but rather from individuals, family, friends, intellectual leaders, and our religious institutions. The solution can only come from rejecting the use of coercion, compulsion, government commands, and aggressive force to mold social and economic behavior. Without accepting these restraints, inevitably the consensus will be to allow the government to mandate economic equality and obedience to the politicians who gain power and promote an environment that smothers the freedoms of everyone. It is then that the responsible individuals who seek excellence and self-esteem by being self-reliant and productive become the victims. In conclusion, what are the greatest dangers that the American people face today that impede the goal of a free society? There are five. The continuous attack on our civil liberties, which threaten the rule of law and our ability to resist the onrush of tyranny. Number two, violent anti-Americanism that has engulfed the world. Because the phenomenon of blowback is not understood or denied, our foreign policy is destined to keep us involved in many wars that we have no business being in. National bankruptcy and a greater threat to our national security will result. Number three, the ease in which we go to war, without a declaration by Congress, but accepting international authority from the UN or NATO, even for preemptive wars, otherwise known as aggression.
Who are you asking for the legal basis from?
If it's obviously if the UN passed a security resolution as it did in Libya, we would do that. If NATO came together as we did in Bosnia, we would rely on that. So, you know, we have options here.
Number four, a financial political crisis as a consequence of excessive debt, unfunded liabilities, spending, bailouts, and gross discrepancy in wealth distribution going from the middle class to the rich. The danger of central economic planning by the Federal Reserve must be understood. World government taking over local and U.S. sovereignty by getting involved in the issues of war, welfare, trade, banking, a world currency, taxes, property, ownership, and private ownership of guns must be addressed. Happily, there's an answer for these very dangerous trends. What a wonderful world it would be if everyone accepted the simple moral premise of rejecting all acts of aggression. The retort to such a suggestion is always, it's too simplistic, too idealistic, impractical, naive, utopian, dangerous, and unrealistic to strive for such an ideal. The answer to that is that for thousands of years, the acceptance of government force to rule over the people at the sacrifice of liberty was considered moral and the only available option for achieving peace and prosperity. What could be more utopian than that myth? Considering the results, especially looking at the state-sponsored killing by nearly every government during the 20th century, estimated to be in the hundreds of millions of people, it's time to reconsider this grant of authority to the state. No good has ever come from granting monopoly power to the state to use aggression against the people to arbitrarily mold human behavior. Such power, when left unchecked, becomes the seed of an ugly tyranny. This method of governance has been adequately tested, and the results are in. The reality dictates we try liberty. The idealism of non-aggression and rejecting the offensive use of force should be tried. The idealism of government-sanctioned violence has been abused throughout history and is the primary source of poverty and war. The theory of a society being based on individual freedom has been around for a long time. It's time to take a bold step and actually permit it by advancing this cause rather than taking a step backwards as some would like us to today. Today, the principles of habeas corpus, established when King John signed the Magna Carta in 1215, is under attack in our own government. There's every reason to believe that a renewed effort with the use of the Internet, that we can instead advance the cause of liberty by spreading an uncensored message that will serve to rein in government authority and challenge the obsession with war and welfare. What I'm talking about is a system of government guided by the moral principles of peace and tolerance. The founders were convinced that a free society could not exist without a moral people. Just writing rules won't work if the people choose to ignore them. Today, the rule of law written in the Constitution has little meaning for most Americans, especially those who work in Washington, D.C. Benjamin Franklin claimed, quote, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom." John Adams concurred, quote, "Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. A moral people must reject all violence in an effort to mold people's beliefs or habits. A society that boos or ridicules the golden rule is not a moral society. All great religions endorse the golden rule. The same moral standards that individuals are required to follow should apply to all government officials. They cannot be exempt. The ultimate solution is not in the hands of the government. The solution falls on each and every individual with guidance from family, friends, and community. The number one responsibility for each of us is to change ourselves with hope that others will follow. This is of greater importance than the working on changing the government. That is secondary to promoting a virtuous society. If we can achieve this, then the government will change. It doesn't mean that political action or holding office has no value. At times, it does nudge policy in the right direction. But what is true is that when seeking office is done for personal aggrandizement, money, or power, it becomes useless if not harmful. When political action is taken for the right reasons, it's easy to understand why compromise should be avoided. It's also become clear why progress is best achieved by working with coalitions which bring people together without anyone sacrificing his principles. Political action, to be truly beneficial, must be directed toward changing the hearts and minds of the people, recognizing that it's virtue and morality of the people that allow liberty to flourish. The Constitution or moral laws per se have no value if the people's attitudes aren't changed. To achieve liberty and peace, two powerful human emotions have to be overcome. Number one is envy, which leads to hate and class warfare. Number two is intolerance, which leads to bigoted and judgmental policies. These emotions must be replaced with a much better understanding of love, compassion, tolerance, and free market economics. Freedom, when understood, brings people together. When tried, freedom is popular. The problem we have faced over the years has been that economic interventionists are swayed by envy, whereas social interventionists are swayed by intolerance or of habits and lifestyles. The misunderstanding that tolerance is an endorsement of certain activity motivates many to legislate moral standards, which should only be set by individuals making their own choices. Both sides use force to deal with these misplaced emotions. Both are authoritarians. Neither endorses voluntarism. Both views ought to be rejected. I have come to one firm conviction after these many years of trying to figure out the plain truth of things. The best chance for achieving peace and prosperity for the maximum number of people worldwide is to pursue the cause of liberty. If you find this to be a worthwhile message, spread it throughout the land. And I yield back the balance of my time.
It's back.
And never forget, if you are watching this transmission, you are the hope. You are the answer. You are the resistance. Visit InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. When you're on the site, you can also tune in 24 hours a day to my daily radio broadcast. There's also a free iPhone app to listen to the syndicated radio show when and where you want. Wow, that was powerful. Great job to our video editor and researcher, John Bowne, and Darren McBreen, and Rob Jacobson, and some of the other crew that contributed to Ron Paul, the film. I mean, that's what that is. It's Ron Paul speaking with augmented information and video clips, and it's the essence of what he has done over the last 30-plus years, where he wanted to get that message out to people, and we respect that message, and it really resonated with us. So that's what InfoWars.com and the whole operation can add to that fight. We're going to go to break and come back with the conclusion of this gigantic, I don't know, three-hour-plus transmission tonight, fueled by passion and love of liberty, InfoWars Nightly News. We're going to come back. It's a five-part series with Dr. Wallach and pharmacist Ben Fuchs when they were here a few weeks ago that we're going to be airing throughout Friday and then some next week. And because they cover so many of real health secrets that the establishment does not want the population out there to know. And a lot of it is just hiding in plain view, like drink more water. You need more healthy cholesterol. You need more vitamins and minerals and trace elements, and they're telling you. And what is this, part two or part three we're about to air? Yeah, this is part three, and it gets really powerful because I've watched the whole thing by the middle. So you can also find all the products they're talking about that I use, that my wife uses, that Aaron lost 90-plus pounds on, and it's not even advertised as weight loss, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine, the Pollen Burst Plus, the Rebound, the Osteo FX, all of it. There's over 300 products up there in a full catalog at InfoWarsHealth.com. And it's the lowest prices on longevity products, and there's a bunch of new specials they're launching this month at InfoWarsHealth.com. You can also find the products at InfoWarsTeam.com. And when you're at InfoWarsTeam.com, you can call the number if you want to become a distributor and, you know, get discounts as well. Get free shipping when you sign up for auto shipping. There's a lot of perks and things. You can call the toll-free numbers that are on the sites as well, on both sites, InfoWarsHealth.com and InfoWarsTeam.com. There's two different numbers, one to call the team, but that can also help you with products or to become a distributor. And they can, you know, tell you the ins and outs and really help you. Or with InfoWars Health, another group that's been being under the tutelage of Dr. Wallach and pharmacist Ben Fuchs and others who can really answer your questions as well with those toll-free numbers that are there at InfoWarsTeam.com and InfoWarsHealth.com. Because part of the revolution against the globalist is about waking up, getting prepared, but also getting our bodies in shape. And I know I'm trying to do that as well. Okay, that's it for now. Again, amazing Ron Paul info. And we'll come right back with the conclusion of tonight's transmission right here on InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News, bringing you our Drone Minute because, remember, we're having our drone mob this Saturday, December 8th, right here in Austin, Texas. We have an article for you. Headline, DARPA-sponsored company unveils drone that can fly through doors and windows. And you guys should check out the video there. The military's tech research arm has developed a drone that can fly through doors and windows and relay back high-resolution surveillance video indefinitely without a break-in signal. Now, I'm sure this has good applications for things such as burning buildings, finding survivors there within. But we also have another article here. Headline, government documents prove domestic drones are for spying. And if you take a look at this document, you'll see that police departments in Little Rock, Seattle, Miami, and the Texas Department of Public Safety all admit that they want to use these drones for spy purposes. Join InfoWars this Saturday as we meet at Zilker Park. You can see it right here behind me. This is the area where they have the Austin city limits. You can see there's Barton Springs Road right down here. And if we can zoom in a little bit, we'll show you the parking lot where we'll actually be meeting. It's right here in this area. And just north of here is where we will be having our drones. We will have the InfoWars flag flying high. So make sure you look for this statement of freedom. So be sure to join us this Saturday at 11 a.m. There will also be a video contest for the best video filmed at the event and posted on YouTube. So make sure you check out InfoWars.com and hashtag Drone Mob for more details. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Touched on cholesterol. I definitely want to talk about cholesterol.
Okay.
But before I get to that,
my favorite mineral, you know, in the world of nutrition, you get favorites, right? You probably have your favorites. And
sure.
I know one of them that's one of my personal favorites, and I know is one of yours, is selenium.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about selenium, this incredible, incredible mineral, and some of the things that you can use it for. And I want you to play special attention on how selenium is involved with the thyroid, how selenium is involved with diabetes, and all the different things that you can use with this incredible mineral that, by the way, is active in microgram quantities, the tiniest of quantities. Maybe touch on that a little bit.
Okay, as you say, selenium is one of those wonderful trace minerals, which is an essential nutrient. We need it. We can't live without it. And it has many functions. It's a structural mineral when it comes to chromosomes, right?
Epigenetics.
Epigenetics, we'll get into that, right? But it's a structural piece in the actual normal double helix.
Is it one of the fingers that you were talking
about?
It's
one of the metallic fingers that keeps this double helix of the chromosome in the proper distance of each other. There's a little strut there. In the middle of these struts, there's all these different minerals, and selenium is one of them.
Wow. So the helix itself is an incredibly organized structure, mm-hmm. and every little component of it is key. The distance that the nucleotides are from each other, all of that is tightly, tightly regulated, and minerals like selenium are involved in making sure that this structure stays intact. That's what the fingers are.
Exactly. And when you have a deficiency of selenium, many things happen. In the biochemical level, you can't recycle glutathione, which is one of the most potent antioxidants made by the body.
The most, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And it's used to protect you from cancer and fend off inflammation in your arteries so you don't get clogged arteries and that kind of stuff. But if you don't have enough selenium, you use one molecule of glutathione and it sort of deactivates. But if you have selenium, you can recycle that one molecule of glutathione 1,000 times.
That's awesome.
That's very awesome. And then it protects your brain from MS. When you have MS, you have a terrible, terrible selenium deficiency because it allows the free radical damage to the myelin, the white matter of the brain again, and you get these lesions in the brain about the size of a lima bean that cause MS.
So supplementing with selenium
can prevent or reverse MS.
Wow.
Along with the 90 essential nutrients. You can't buy it not by itself.
That's right. So 200 micrograms to 400 micrograms?
I like to be a little heavy-handed.
600?
I like to be a little heavy-handed.
800?
A milligram, yeah.
A milligram
1,000
micrograms,
yeah. Okay. When you have these diseases, you need to use a bigger hammer, right?
Okay.
HIV. You can prevent HIV from mutating to AIDS by supplementing with selenium.
Wow.
1 milligram a day. What's the difference between Arthur Ashe, the great black tennis player, and Magic Johnson, the great black basketball player? One is dead, one's alive.
Yeah, yeah.
One's supplementing with selenium, one didn't.
Is that that's what Magic Johnson's doing? Oh, that's interesting.
Now,
how about just a common cold or just like flus and that kind of thing?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm getting there. It's very good. You're on top of it.
Right. But
I also, it's one of the things that they actually discovered, Dr. Gerhard Schrauser, a grand man, he's the guy who discovered that selenium is an essential nutrient back in 1957.
They didn't consider it essential then.
No, they considered it a
poison. Yes,
exactly.
Right.
They thought it was a poison. Even medical doctors today still think it's a poison.
Yeah.
But it actually was discovered to be an essential nutrient. And the disease he was looking at was liver necrosis, the death of your liver. If you survive death of your liver, you got cirrhosis of the liver, right? And this is all caused by not drinking, because 99% of the people who get liver cirrhosis never took a drink of alcohol in their life.
Right.
It's a selenium deficiency.
Wow.
I get people off the liver transplant list all the time.
Wow. So that's a big problem today, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge problem.
Fatty liver, primary sclerosing cholangitis, liver cirrhosis.
Yeah.
I've had people, pharmacists, Ben, who've had 32 liver operations at Harvard Medical School. Their livers are the size of an Oreo cookie, and I rebuild them in 2 months to a normal liver. Just using the 90 essential nutrients and extra selenium.
Right.
Okay. And then there's cataracts are caused by a selenium deficiency and free radical damage, eating fried foods, free radical damage to the lens of the eye and no selenium to protect it. And then you get cardiomyopathy, heart disease. I've done
Keyshan syndrome.
That's
right.
I've done 1,200 autopsies on kids under the age of 10 in Keyshan province, China. 1,200 autopsies. Nobody else has ever done that.
They're all deficient.
They're all deficient in selenium. And partially because of our work there in China, every school kid, when you go to kindergarten, they get a multiple and a capsule of selenium. We've wiped out cardiomyopathy, heart disease in children in China.
That's awesome.
Is that awesome?
That's awesome. Now, isn't there an animal correlate to this Keyshan syndrome, selenium deficiency?
Yes.
A sheep?
Well, in every animal you can name, there's a correlation. But in pigs, they call it mulberry heart disease. In sheep, they call it stiff lamb disease, because when they get heart disease, they kind of walk with arch back and they're kind of stiff. And in calves, cattle, they call it white muscle disease, because when you cut through the heart, instead of having this beautiful kind of reddish purple heart color, it looks like a good perch muscle. It's white. So they call it white muscle disease. And you can prevent it with
a little bit of selenium.
Well, with the 90 essential nutrients plus extra selenium. If they get it and they survive the first heart attack, or you catch it with just arrhythmias in their heart, you give them the selenium, it goes away.
How about for the thyroid?
The thyroid gland, of course, there's actually a syndrome called Wilson syndrome. The question is, how many nutrients does your thyroid require?
A lot, probably.
No. All 90.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask a physician,
iodine,
they'll say iodine,
right,
because it's part of the structure,
right,
of the thyroxine hormone.
Hormone.
But that's only the part of the structure. But for the thyroid gland to work, it needs all 90.
Of course.
Duh. Right? And so a lot of times when they look at the T3, T4, the TSH, and all that kind of stuff, really what they're looking for is iodine levels. Hmm? And so you can be perfect. They say, well, we don't know why you're having all these symptoms of thyroid disease. Because, yeah, we give them iodine and nothing changes. Well, that's because it's a selenium deficiency.
That's interesting. Well, selenium is involved in the hormone as well.
Well,
it's part of the structure as well,
it's
no?
part of the structure, but it actually is, even equally importantly, it's part of the process of making the hormone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And as is copper and everything else. And then, of course, it's necessary for the health of your muscles. Muscular dystrophy is caused, muscular dystrophy is a selenium deficiency.
Wow.
Now, a fellow by the name of Marvin Rapanai, who grew up Amish, and he went in and became a Navy SEAL. Going from the Amish world to the Navy SEAL, he comes back after 20 years in the SEALs. He goes back, a worldly man now, and he sees all these kids dying of muscular dystrophy in the Amish community. And so I go there, and I say, well, this is what we see in calves that have muscular dystrophy or white muscle disease. And it's a selenium deficiency. So we went to Purdue University, and sure enough, in Indiana, wherever these kids are that have muscular dystrophy, there's always a selenium deficiency in the soil. So we started giving them the 90 essential nutrients, giving them extra selenium, and the muscular dystrophy goes away in a couple of weeks. Even if they've been in wheelchairs for years, we get out of the wheelchairs and go play basketball. So we send all this information to Jerry Lewis. This is a gospel truth story now. We send all this information to Jerry Lewis. 5 years.
He must have loved it.
He went crazy positive. He loves it.
Yeah.
I said, now, Jerry, we're not asking for money. We already know the cause, prevention, and cure of muscular dystrophy in kids. We already know this. We just think it's appropriate that we offer to you the opportunity to make the news release, because you're
Mr.
the guy.
Muscular dystrophy.
You are, they're Jerry's kids,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you're the obvious guy to make the news release if you want to. If you say no, we'll be happy, but at least my conscience is okay because I've given you the opportunity. He gets excited. He takes it to the medical committee in the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation.
Excited.
They fire Jerry Lewis. That's why Jerry Lewis has not been on the telethon for the last 2 years.
Oh, that's an amazing story.
And they sent him on a cruise. They actually bought him a ticket to say, we have a non-disclosure contract with you, Jerry. You can lose everything. We'll sue you for everything if you bring this up. And so we're sending you on a cruise. Go enjoy yourself.
And don't bring it up.
We want you away from here.
Wow.
When we're having this telethon this year, because everybody's going to say, well, where's Jerry?
For the last cruise.
It's over with.
That's a great story.
And so they fired Jerry Lewis because we discovered the cause, prevention, cure of, and I knew what it was for a long time, but until Marvin Rapp came back from being a Navy SEAL and introduced me to the Amish community, I didn't have access to those kids.
So selenium must for muscular dystrophy. But I think your point's well taken that you have to have the entire mighty 90. These things are specific for disease states, but the entire milieu of the body has to be nutriated.
That's right, because everything kind of works together.
Yeah.
And if you have to have the metabolism to be able to repair yourself. You have to have the metabolism to operate just in life. And so to think you can cherry pick one nutrient, this is one of the bad things the medical system does.
Allopathic nutrition, I call it.
Yes.
Where you just use a nutrient like it's one kind of drug, one kind of disease.
Exactly. Using a nutrient as a drug.
Yeah.
Instead of using the whole... I liken it to grandma's recipe for an Asian food cake, for instance. And she dies and she leaves her secret recipe to her favorite granddaughter, right?
Right.
But the granddaughter doesn't like some of the ingredients. She says, I really don't like eggs because of cholesterol theory, right?
It's not going to be the same cake.
And so you leave the eggs out and all you get is a angel food crepe.
Yeah.
You don't
right.
get angel
right.
food cake.
Right, right. Because all the ingredients work together.
Exactly.
And the Mighty 90 works together the same way.
Yeah.
All right, so there's so many things I want to talk about, but I don't think any conversation with Dr. Wallach would be complete without talking about colloidal minerals.
Okay.
Okay. And first of all, there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding. People don't really understand what exactly a colloidal mineral is. And I think it's it makes sense that there'd be misunderstandings. You know, Albert Einstein and some of the great physicists, they studied colloidal solutions, colloidal suspensions. They were so fascinated with how these things work and how they interact with the water and the electrical nature of all that. Why don't you tell folks, first of all, tell folks how you discovered the power of colloidal minerals and exactly what are colloidal minerals and why are they so special and so effective?
Okay, well, thank you, Pharmacist Ben. Back again in the late 80s, I was working with some of the alternative cancer hospitals in Mexico. They invited me to come do some things with them. And that's a long story how I got there, but that's another time. But at any rate, one of the problems I had was getting all the nutrients that people needed, because most people wouldn't eat calf pellets and dog food and things like that, right?
Right.
And so I had to find a way, because in human supplies, it was very difficult to get things. And so I needed a source of some really weird trace elements and rare earths, okay, like gallium, ytterbium, yttrium, neodymium, praseodymium.
Right. Which the body needs.
You get disease if you don't have them. Most doctors, you ask them about those.
Ytterbium deficiencies.
Rare earth, europium. Yeah, you ask them about those things, doctors look at you like a deer in the headlight. They've never heard of them, right? And so I was looking for those things. Well, here at one of these alternative cancer hospitals is a little gallon glass jug, and it says, take an ounce of this with every meal. And I tasted, woo, it kind of shrunk, wrap your lips over your teeth. It was very tart.
Right, minerals.
Yep. And so I said, what is this? They said, well, it's this stuff that comes out of the mountains and has all these different minerals in it. So I took it to Dr. Schrauser, University of California, and I said, analyze it. And it had 77 minerals in it, including all these really weird trace minerals and rare earths, exactly what I was looking for to make this, as what's turned out now, to be the Alex pack, right?
Right.
You got it?
Right.
But that was back in 1985. I had been looking for something, but it was so expensive.
It would have all the trace, you were looking for something that would have all those trace minerals.
And the rare earths, and if we were to put it together one by one by one, it would cost $1,000 an hour to take that stuff, right? And so it was too expensive. So here's a natural source.
Wow.
And it had everything in there in optimal amounts. I mean, I really got excited because I said, now I've got the tool that I can bring this to the general public, right?
Wow.
Well, a colloid is actually a mineral that's in suspension rather than in solution.
So it doesn't dissolve, it hangs.
It hangs in there. Now, how does that do that? You've heard of Brownian movement,
sure,
right? Well, all these particles are the same charge, and so they repel each other. And so they stay in suspension by their own energy because they're repelling each other like little magnets.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. So this is a highly electrically charged solution.
That's right.
It's like a magnetic solution.
But they're all the same charge.
Right.
That's the secret. They're all the same charge.
Right. That's how they're repelling.
Yeah, that's right. Brownian movement, and they knew about that for a long time, but you're talking about one nutrient, one mineral, but here's one with 77 minerals in there.
Wow.
And there's this, it's almost like a liquid alloy of 77 minerals.
Wow.
And, for instance, if you take a solution, a liter of a solution, you can maximize whatever you can get in there, you get 985 or 989 milligrams. That's all you can get into a solution. There's only so much room in between the water molecules. Now, in a suspension, I can get 36,000 milligrams.
How do you do that?
Ah, kidneys, right? I can get 36,000 milligrams. Well, when you taste that, that'll shred the enamel off your teeth. It's so acid. So I had to cut it down to 19,000 milligrams. But now we're getting up into the dosage rates, so you don't have to drink 7 gallons a day. I had to concentrate it down. I mean, all these little mechanical factors I had to deal with, I had to concentrate it enough to where a human being could take a couple ounces and get enough. Nobody's going to drink 7 gallons a day to get enough, right?
But these are highly concentrated suspensions.
Yes, but I had to concentrate them more.
Wow.
Right, see? And so this is perfect for me because I could get 19,000 milligrams in a liter, 600 milligrams in an ounce.
That's amazing.
That's amazing, right?
That's amazing.
And so, but in a solution, I could only get 30 milligrams.
And so what accounts for that difference then?
Well, in a suspension, it doesn't matter how much room there is between the water molecules because these guys are in there keeping each other in suspension all the time. They never settle out.
They're self-suspending.
They never settle out.
Wow.
A perpetual motion machine.
When you're actually drinking electrical energy. You're drinking magnetism.
Of a sorts, yeah.
So you're drinking a magnetic solution. So
yes.
Would you say that the effect on the body is it amps up the magnetic energy?
Well, if you look at the heart, for instance, which is an electrical thing,
right?
when people start getting palpitations, they are having an electrical conduction problem. So you give them selenium in a colloidal form, problem solved.
Wow.
Okay? And so it's that simple. But at any rate, then I was able to make liquids. Of course, I'm considered the father of liquid supplementation at that level. And the initial product we had was just what we called plant minerals.
I remember
that. Yeah, 77 plant minerals, which contain all 60 essential minerals in optimal amounts, 1 ounce per 100 pounds of body weight. And most people are deficient in minerals, so just taking those minerals made an enormous positive difference in people's lives. And then people were saying, well, what multiple do I take with it? So I had to come up with a multiple. And then you think it's tricky to add all the vitamins and amino acids and things to it. Now, I tried adding the fatty acid, turned it into soap.
I'm sure,
It became a solid.
You can't add fatty acid. But it's a miracle that you could add all that other stuff in there. That's some amazing formulations. And let me tell you something. I formulate for a living, and the formulations that you guys, Longevity's come up with some formulations that are absolutely stupendous, and it started off with that.
That bottle of minerals.
Mm-hmm.
We just kept adding things to it, and of course we'd run into the thing like turning into soap, and we had bottles exploding and stuff, and so in the early days it was quite adventurous. And then of course, right now we have in the Alex pack, which you can buy by itself or part of the Alex pack, I like the Alex because you got a complete thing, is the Beyond Tangerine. It has 245 nutrients
in
it.
That's a stupendous product.
Isn't that wild?
Stupendous product.
It has 300 milligrams of these minerals per serving. It has
lots of B vitamins.
Well, megadoses.
Right.
And then it has 115 super juices. This is we're not talking about a V8 here.
Right.
We're talking a V115.
That's amazing.
V115.
Yeah, V115, not V8. Right? Plus 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, plus copper, plus selenium.
Well, plus all 60 essential.
Plus is there glucosamine, I think.
Yes, there is.
That's an amazing, amazing product. If people don't do anything but that, they're going to notice dramatic results.
Oh, huge, huge. And, of course, kids like it because it tastes good.
Tastes great. And then for absorption, that's another thing. You know, in pharmacy school, we study delivery. That's one of the main things we study is delivery. And they tell you, if you want to deliver things in the body, you don't want to use a suppository, and you don't want to use an injection, drink the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually, in addition to the colloidal minerals, the nature of the colloids, the fact that it was in the way you could drink it, you would get instant absorption is so important because people have digestive problems. Everybody has digestive problems. Bypassing digestive problems with liquids. Go ahead.
Well, I'll answer that question in a second. But what we did was even, I thought, more fun. We take these colloids, which in themselves are very absorbable, right? And then we...
Tremendously absorbable.
Very absorbable compared to even solutions. And so then we turn it into a coffee crystal type technology.
Now, talk about that.
Well, coffee crystals are not actually like you're making an instant drink, okay? Because what we did was turn it into a brewed thing that has all these juices and vitamins and minerals and amino acids in it. We made these huge solutions, and then we freeze-dried it, and they turned into crystals. You just add water, and suddenly now it rehydrates, becomes the original suspension again.
Is that what makes the BTT so special? It's like freeze-dried.
Yes.
Do you remember that commercial they used to have for the freeze-dried coffee?
Mm-hmm.
That whole...
That's the coffee crystals.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
And so we take a colloid, and we turn it into the coffee crystal technology.
So it recolloid. It becomes a colloid again.
It becomes a colloid again.
So the BTT is... It's a colloidal suspension.
It's not a
solution.
And then we put it into resuspension.
When people reconstitute it...
It becomes a suspension again.
It becomes a suspension again. So they're actually drinking this colloidal liquid again.
Exactly.
Even though it's portable and you can carry it around.
And light, you can take it on the plane with you.
You can take it on the plane. That's great. All right, so cholesterol.
Okay.
I want to talk about cholesterol. Statin drugs, hundreds of millions of prescriptions are filled for statin drugs every year. Everybody's terrified of cholesterol. Somebody here was asking about eating eggs, and people don't want to eat eggs. They don't want to eat the yolk and eggs, and... There's so much misunderstandings about cholesterol. Please tell our listeners, tell the viewers a little bit about, first of all, what cholesterol is, why it's so important, and then how you can make sure that you have enough cholesterol in your body using dietary strategy.
Well, first of all, cholesterol is an important part of our human structure. Every cell wall is like 30% cholesterol.
Right.
Okay? Every cell wall, if the trillions and trillions of cells in your body, every one of them, 30% or more, in some cases 60%, the cell wall is cholesterol.
Nerves. So you can't make cells without the stuff.
That's right. And cells won't work without it. They die without it. And then 75% of your brain weight, the white matter of your brain, the myelin,
cholesterol.
Is cholesterol. Okay? If you don't have enough cholesterol, Guess what you get? Alzheimer's disease. It's a physician-caused disease for lowering your cholesterol. Then you can't make sex hormones. Testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, and adrenal hormones are all steroid hormones. 95% by weight is cholesterol. Vitamin D3 is
cholesterol.
7-hydroxy-25 cholesterol. Right.
Cortisol, cholesterol hormone.
Exactly. So
aldosterone.
Adrenal hormones, all these things are cholesterol. So you don't have enough cholesterol, you get erectile dysfunction, you get menopause, you get adrenal exhaustion, you get Alzheimer's disease.
All of it.
All of it.
How can this thing, this beautiful chemical, this beautiful molecule be so demonized in our culture? It's amazing to me.
Well, here's why. Because again, biologists don't know anything about chemistry, right? Doctors don't know anything about nutrition.
Right.
So that's a maxim. Well, in 1971, after having done 20,000 autopsies, I wrote a paper which compared the plugged arteries in vegans versus plugged arteries in meat eaters. Looking at this cholesterol series, right?
Well, vegans are eating what are grains?
Well, grains, vegetables, fruits, and nuts. And guess who had the worst clogged arteries?
Vegans. Right.
Because of
there's
the
no cholesterol in meat.
Well, there's a little bit of cholesterol in the scarring of the arteries, and that's why they, in their brains, they thought it was a cholesterol. But there's turbulence in there, and the body's putting cholesterol, and they're trying to smooth it out. You know, like these nonstick pans. The body's response was to throw cholesterol at it, trying to smooth out the turbulence.
Now, when people eat meat, is there cholesterol in steak? Is there actually cholesterol molecule, even after it's cooked and after it's processed?
As long as you don't burn it. Okay, now, but here's the beauty of that study. 1971, 20,000 autopsies, they come out, and this is published in an international Danish pathology journal, Acta Pathologica, translated into six languages. This went around. Millions of doctors, millions of pathologists all over the world read this. Now, they all laughed at me because they were saying, well, Wallach must be sniffing glue because cholesterol causes heart disease. Well, guess what? Where were vegans getting their cholesterol? They're not eating meat. They're not eating eggs.
They're making it.
The oils in the grains are oxidizing because they were stored improperly.
So now...
And then they stir fry in extra, extra, extra virgin olive oil. You turn those oils into trans fatty acids and heterocyclic amines, right?
Right.
By heating them. They eat a lot of salad dressings.
So where's the cholesterol coming from?
From the body makes a little bit as a sort of,
a protective device?
Protective device. Uh-huh. Kind of like this nonstick pan again, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. But it came from your own body
so
making it.
So it's upregulating the body's manufacturing system of cholesterol.
Yeah, but it's infinitesimally small. It wasn't even a factor. But they picked, that's the only strange thing that was in there, right? And so they picked that out for some reason. And they came up with these statin drugs to lower cholesterol.
Uh-huh.
Well, here comes, now, 41 years later, the FDA in Science News just a couple of weeks ago came out and said, Houston, we have a problem. They put out new warnings on statin drugs saying...
Diabetes.
Increases your risk of diabetes by 50%, increases your risk of Alzheimer's disease by 100%.